The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, October 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an explosion rocked an Allentown neighborhood, causing multiple homes to go up in flames early Sunday morning. Neighbors called 911 to report a home on the 300 block of West Green Street had exploded at about 3:20 a.m. When fire crews arrived, they found heavy flames shooting from the home around the corner on the 700 block of North Fountain Street. The house and a neighboring home were engulfed by fire, and the flames were quickly spreading to other neighboring homes on the block. The flames eventually consumed 10 homes. There was panic as people realized what was happening. Yeah, it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
They showed footage from obviously some sort of helicopter flying over, and it looked as if the initial explosion had thrown flaming debris on top
onto
of
the other houses. Homes.
Yeah, the other ones.
Police went door to door evacuating residents. The fire continued to burn for several hours. Flames could be seen shooting through the thick black smoke billowing above the homes as firefighters worked to contain the blaze. The Red Cross says that they are providing emergency assistance for a dozen displaced families, about 44 people. Eight of those families were affected by the fire. An additional four families are temporarily displaced during demolition that is currently taking place. Officials said one person was left unaccounted for, but after the evacuations, he was found safely. A firefighter suffered a shoulder injury while working to contain the blaze.
You got to guess it's a gas leak or something.
It seems like it, right? What else could do that?
Yeah.
A violent weekend has left a toddler dead and an 11-month-old in critical condition following separate shootings in Philadelphia less than 24 hours apart. Gunfire rang out at about 3:30 Sunday inside a home along the 3300 block of North Water Street in North Philadelphia. According to police, the shooter opened fire on a residence from outside, hitting a 2-year-old girl in the back of the head. The child died at the scene. The 24-year-old mother of the child was shot once in the right side, once in her head and once in her back. She's listed in critical condition at an area hospital. Police say a 33-year-old man who was a contractor inside the home was also shot in the stomach. He's listed in critical condition at this time. Acting Philadelphia Police Commissioner Christine Coulter says the home was targeted about 5 minutes prior to the shooting. Police say there was a shooting nearby that they believe is connected due to ballistic evidence. Now, Sunday's shooting comes less than 24 hours after an 11-month-old was shot inside a vehicle. The baby is fighting for his life after being shot four times, including once in the head. This baby was shot four times.
Insanity. Yeah.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney says he was outraged, distraught, and heartbroken following the weekend's violence. No arrests have been made in either of the shootings, so anyone with information is asked to contact police, 215-686-TIPS, and you can contact them anonymously if you have information. The
Orionid.
Oh, man.
There we go.
The Orionid meteor shower.
Practiced it in everything.
Everything.
Orionid. I can do this. Orionid. Nailed it. The garbage in...
Nailed it in my head. The Orionid meteor shower will reach its peak this year on the night of October 21st and 22nd. So that's tonight and tomorrow night. The best time to view the shower is after midnight when the constellation where the meteors appear to originate rises high above the horizon. The shower regularly produces 20 to 25 meteors per hour. The moon will contest the shower, however, so it's important to keep your eyes away from the moon. The meteors from the Orionids are dust and debris left behind by Halley's Comet, a famous celestial object that visits the inner solar system once every 76 years. So that's tonight and tomorrow night. You can check that out.
Yay.
In sports this morning. The Cowboys rolled to an easy 37-10 win over the Eagles last night in Dallas.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, Carson Wentz threw an interception and had two of the Eagles' three lost fumbles as they fell 3-4 on the season. They lost their second straight game after winning two.
What the fuck is this?
The Eagles are on the road again on Sunday with the game in Buffalo against the Bills. We'll see how that goes.
Terrible.
In better news, the Philadelphia Union beat the New York Red Bulls last night in the playoffs in Chester.
Nice.
Marco Fabian's right-footed shot late in the first 15-minute period of extra time was the game-winning goal for the Union, who scored two second-half goals for a 4-3 win.
Who was asking those guys about overtime and to know the rules of overtime?
Yeah. So you're you taking did. Credit?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Oh, so
not all the credit.
Right. Some
75 me, 25 whoever the guy who did that.
I don't know. Marissa gave me a little bit of credit because I was salsa dancing with them.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So give me like...
All right, sorry. 60 me, 20 you, okay. 20 the other guy.
Okay, all right. The third-seeded Union won for their first ever postseason game after three losses in the 10 seasons of franchise history. They advanced to play on the road again against third-seeded Atlanta United on Thursday in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And the Flyers, who lost to the Dallas Stars on Saturday night, are at home again tonight with a game against the Vegas Golden Knights. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kath. Welcome back and ready for another work week. Let's see. I've not looked. Yeah, what do we have for our Word of the Week prize? Well, you're not going to believe it. We have a trip to Los Angeles.
Really?
No. Again.
Again?
That's four in a row we've given away.
What movie?
For the Word of the Week prize. It will be a trip for two to the premiere of Midway.
Oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, Tuesday, November 5th in L.A., and it includes 2 round-trip plane tickets, 2 nights hotel stay, and 2 tickets to the premiere. Midway opens in theaters on November 8th. I actually just saw a story this morning. They found a battleship from Midway recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they recently discovered that. So that is pretty damn cool. Let's keep that trend going.
I love it.
I like giving away
these
trips. So guest on the program, we're going to have a Not Your Average Listener on today, which is always a lot of fun. We'll find out who this person is and what they're all about probably when we get to the 8 o'clock hour. And then we'll see if you think that their story is worth a cash reward or not. But we'll have that person on. It's up to you.
Yeah, it's never up to us.
Yep.
You are the one who will decide.
New Music Monday, we have, or I'm sorry, not new music, Free Music Monday. We're going to give away.
Well, it is new.
It is new, but from Foles. So that'll be coming up at some point today. And I had not had a chance to dig through all our giveaways. I know we do have a stack of stuff. In fact, we have another movie screening coming up.
We do. Next Tuesday, I believe.
All right. Then I can give away a couple tickets right now. I'll give away 2 pairs of tickets to see Terminator Dark Fate. Tuesday, October 29th, it will be at the UA Riverview. And then it opens in theaters November 1st. So we'll give away more tickets as we go through the course of the day. 215-263-WMMR. First couple of callers, we will set you up.
So excellent.
Why not get started with some giveaways before that sun comes up? So these things and more are taking place. Let's go ahead and take a break. Come back in a second. I've got a stack of entertainment stories from the weekend to share with you. More giveaways with the stupid question. And we will maneuver through this Monday together. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so today we're going to do a stupid question, and I expect a reaction from both Steve and Casey. A pair of tickets to see Steely Dan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll be there.
Friday, November 8th at the Met. So if you answer this question correctly, you will get those tickets. Let's go with, I have a couple different things I could ask about this same subject. Let's go and let's stay in the world of rock.
Rock, man.
Not quite progressive rock like Steely Dan, if you want to call it progressive rock. It's more progressive pop, but.
Yeah.
Let's say, which member of Kiss wore an Ankh as his stage makeup?
Which member of KISS wore an Ankh as part of his stage makeup?
Now, remember, through the years, there have been
pretty well versed.
Several different members.
I don't know this one.
Of the band KISS. It's a tough one. 215-263-WMN.
That's a scratcher.
I would, even Gene doesn't remember. I would not have gotten this. Okay, so which member of KISS wore an Ankh as his stage makeup? 215-263-WMMR. Today is Monday, October 21st. Let's go through some birthdays today. We'll start with baseball. The great Whitey Ford, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, pitched the most World Series wins in history And he is 91 years old today.
Still playing, right?
Yeah, he's still
actively on the roster.
Yeah, he is.
I'm sure I mention this every year, but I have his rookie card. That's a baseball card that's probably actually worth something.
Because it has to
be. Has it been appraised, Nick?
It's rare. No, well, yeah, Steve, but like the value of those go up and down so much.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, so I don't know what it's worth, but that's one that I'll hold on to.
You have it displayed?
No, I have it in a safe case in the
next
the
to some oily rags.
Right next to the Darryl Strawberry and the Cal Ripken rookie.
Yeah.
Maybe that's worth something. I don't know.
It might be time to think about putting that in some sort of...
Yeah. But that's the era of baseball cards that actually have a little bit of value because they're a little more rare.
Okay. We also have actress Joyce Randolph from The Honeymooners played Trixie. She's the last of that group that's still alive. She's 95 years old.
95 years old. Yeah. And even at that age, she's a blithering idiot. No, she's... I saw her interviewed recently. She's actually pretty together.
Judge Judy Scheinland is 77 today.
One of the richest women on television.
That is correct. And a guy who was just in town recently, Steve Lukather, guitarist from Toto.
Yeah.
Very sought-after musician. Plays with Ringo Starr's all-star band and has been doing that for a long, long time. And he's just insanely talented. In fact, on Beat It, on the song Beat It, he's the main guitarist. Now, Eddie Van Halen does the solo, but the...
So he's done a whole bunch
that
of...
That is Steve Lukather.
A whole bunch of studio stuff in Preston. I think he might have done a fair amount of studio stuff with Steely Dan.
Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. Now, he said that Toto, they just played here over the weekend, or maybe it was late in the week. That's the last time they'll play in Philadelphia. They are
going.
He says they're pretty much done after this tour.
Thanks for letting us know.
But he's not going to. Yeah, he's going to wrap it up. He's 62 today, at least with Toto. He'll continue to play. Actor Ken Watanabe, you may remember from Inception.
Yes.
And in Batman Begins, he plays the fake Ra's al Ghul.
He's damn good.
He is 60 today. Wow. Looks good for 60 years old.
And he's also in the Godzilla movies.
Man for Man. Another musician.
I listen to this all the time.
This is from Man for Man's Earth Band.
Yeah.
They also did For You, which is a really cool song, too. And when they were just Man for Man, they brought us a Doo-Wah Diddy way back in the 1960s.
Doo-Wah Diddy. Yeah, that's cool. It's a long career.
So he is 79 years old today.
I like this version better than Springsteen's.
Yeah, I do, too. I have to admit it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Bruce's version sounds very, very Cosby-esque. Bill Cosby. Steve the Colonel Cropper, guitarist for not only the Blues Brothers Band, which is where I got to know him, but also Booker T and the MGs. He goes way back, and he's another one of those hired guns that people definitely sought after. This is Booker T and the MGs right here.
So
called Green Onions.
In the actual Blues Brothers album, there's another musician named Steve when he yells out,
Play it, Steve.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Or is it him?
I think it's him.
Is it him?
I think it's Steve Colonel Cropper, right. He is 78 years old, and I saved the best for last. Now, we'll hit a milestone birthday next year, and then you can go absolutely crazy because she'll be 40 next year. But Kim Kardashian is...
Oh, my God! The crowd loves it. They're yelling. Hear that? They're yelling Kim.
She's 39 today. Oh, my God. You guys.
Will she be a full-blown lawyer by that time?
Probably.
Should be blowing something.
I don't know. Anyhow, 39.
Thank you.
I'll get to some Kardashian crap later on.
Yay.
Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Which member of KISS wore an Ankh as his stage makeup? 215-263-WMMR. We will go to Bobby for the answer. Hey, Bobby, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning.
Vinnie Vincent. Hang on a second.
What's an ankh, by the way?
You've seen this symbol before. It's kind of like a circle with a...
It's an Egyptian symbol. Looks like a cross with a circle on top of it.
Okay.
Now you know what an ankh is.
Vinny, what's that thing on your neck?
Yes.
I need it to pry open my chicken enclosure.
Vinnie Vincent, that is correct. He was in the band for a short amount of time.
Huh.
The ankh apparently means eternal life. In Egyptian war.
Yes.
Yep. So, Bobby, hang on. We're going to give you tickets to see Steely Dan Friday, November 8th at the Met in Philly. And it's part of their epic three-night stand at the Met, November 6th, 8th, and 9th. And the show on the 9th is sold out. Some tickets for the 6th and 8th are available via Ticketmaster.com, and complete details are available at WMMR.com. The box office this weekend yielded a number one spot for Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, and it made $36 million even.
So it took about half of what the first movie took its opening weekend, but it was still enough for first place.
That was followed up by number two, Joker, and then you had Zombieland 2 Double Tap, which debuted at number three.
Which is decent.
Then you had The Addams Family, Gemini Man, Abominable, number six, followed by Downton Abbey, Judy, Hustlers, and It Chapter 2.
So they're calling Gemini Man a certified bomb.
Really?
Because it lost projected, for what they projected the box office to be to what the movie made, it's a difference of about $76 to $80 million.
Did it get decent reviews, do you know?
It did not.
Okay.
We're going to start with Jennifer Lawrence. She and Cook Maroney celebrated their love in front of friends and family over the weekend.
And Maroney, love you!
Yeah, they did it. And the 29-year-old Oscar winner, they gave him the mic for that.
Can you say something? Yeah. I love you! I love you.
Wrong button.
Both buttons.
The 29-year-old Oscar winner married the 34-year-old art dealer at a wedding at the Lux Belcourt of Newport, a mansion designed in 1894 by celebrated architect Richard Morris Hunt.
Yes, of course.
The so-called castle
is brother Michael.
is rumored to be haunted. The stunning estate was inspired by Louis XIII's hunting lodge at Versailles. Carolyn Raffelian, CEO of Alex and Annie, currently calls the man's home. Puts a lot of details about that house.
It's a tremendous amount. I was looking at pictures of it. Obviously, it's no dump. It's not a Ramada.
It's one fun thing that I did years ago was a mansion tour on Newport.
Yes.
There are a lot of them. And it's unbelievable to see them one after another after another. Oh, yeah. I'm sure we drove past this one. I don't remember it specifically, but they're unreal.
The bride reportedly wore Dior. Among the friends in attendance were Emma Stone, Ashley Olsen, Adele, Amy Schumer, and Kris Jenner.
I would imagine
if Adele is at your, she's got to sing something.
Yeah,
right?
Would you ask her
to do that though, or is she simply there for the Swedish meatballs and a little dancing?
I don't know, man.
I wouldn't care if she was at my wedding.
Sing, bitch.
I'm the bride.
You have to sing.
Yeah. So the party got started Friday with a rollicking clam bake rehearsal dinner.
Oh, Cook is dancing, everyone.
And it was under a white tent on Rose Island. Nicole Richie, Joel Madden, Cameron Diaz, Sienna Miller, and more were spotted at that.
Man, it's just, you know, packed full of celebrities.
Yeah, the pair have been linked since June of 2018.
So they're all her friends. I know Cook is an art dealer, you said, right? So
yep.
I wonder, anybody from his group show up?
They didn't.
Who are his buddy?
They didn't indicate who. Who was there for who?
Slats Mahoney?
A rep confirmed to People that they were engaged in February after Lawrence was seen wearing a massive ring during a dinner with Maroney at Raoul's, an upscale French restaurant in New York City. In June, she had called Maroney the greatest human being I've ever met.
Wow.
Wow. In June of this year, I guess.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like right when they met. Right then and there.
Pleased to meet you, the greatest human being I've ever met.
She added, he really is, and he gets better. She was saying, when asked about him, she said, I don't know. It just started with the basics. When asked why she chose to marry him, how do I feel? Is he nice? Is he kind? It's just, this is the one. I know that sounds really stupid, but he's you know.
It actually doesn't sound stupid. I knew my wife was the one. There was no question about it. And it's the way of it. I'm just, I hope it goes the distance. Good luck. Good luck to them.
He's the greatest person I've ever met, so I feel very honored to become a Maroney, she says.
Who would want to be a Maroney?
You're a Maroney.
I wonder if she'll be Jennifer Lawrence Maroney after this.
That would be a bold move.
So we'll see.
How about Mellencamp, too?
So slap Jennifer Lawrence Maroney Mellencamp. That could work. Meghan Markle is opening up about the pressures of being a new mom in the public eye. ITV released a clip on Friday from the documentary called Harry and Meghan, An African Journey, which debuted in the UK Sunday, giving viewers a rare glimpse of royal life, minus the pomp and circumstance.
This is, like, I was watching clips of this. It's very depressing.
Yeah. Is it?
She's very dour in this, and I, you know, She seems definitely affected by all of the negative press. Makes mention of that in, the, yeah. in one of the clips.
All right. You want to play one?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Thank you for asking, because not many people have asked if I'm okay. But it's a very real thing to be going through behind the scenes.
And the answer is, would it be fair to say not really okay, since it's really been a struggle?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's one where she talks about her friends had warned her about the British press. And she's let's play the clip. But it's, yeah, I mean, listen to how she's talking.
This is about her. Okay, yeah, the friends warned her about the British press. Here we go.
When I first met my now husband, my friends were really happy because I was so happy. But my British friend said to me, I'm sure he's great, but you shouldn't do it because the British tabloids will destroy your life. And I very naively, I'm American, we don't have that there. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. I'm not in tabloids. I didn't get it. So it's, it's been complicated.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds pretty dire, doesn't it?
Yeah. You would think at that level, at that, I mean, look, you're going to be savaged and knowing going in. Hopefully you'd just be able to go, just say whatever you want, dude. I mean, it's you're not going to affect me.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
We have this saying in the States. Yeah.
Could you send Megan in here? We have a saying here in England. Yeah. I'm rubber, you're glue. Yeah. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. You see what I'm saying?
But yeah, she in the show, she spoke candidly about the negative attention that she receives and the stress it's added to her life. So that's what that's all about. And especially it was, you know, tough during the pregnancy. And when an interviewer asked her if the situation had been a struggle for her, she said yes. He had joined the interviewer. His name is Tom Bradby. He joined the couple for their 10-day tour of Southern Africa, which ended with Harry castigating the press for its treatment of Meghan and launching a suit against the Mail on Sunday for publishing a private letter that she wrote to her father. And separately, he sued News UK and MGN for allegedly intercepting their voicemail messages.
Can't do that. So, it's illegal.
Yeah.
Meghan and Harry, do you mind if I tag you along?
Let's see what else we have here. It says a new mom.
Yeah, about she's dealing with being a new mother. Well, you let her tell you.
All right.
Look, any woman especially when they're pregnant, you're really vulnerable, and so that was made really challenging. And then when you have a newborn,
it's a long time ago, but I remember. Yeah.
You know, and especially as a woman, it's a lot. So you add this on top of just trying to be a new mom or trying to be a newlywed.
I know this is probably inappropriate, but I would love to kiss you.
Wow. Excuse me?
I'm just watching you speak, and your tone is very inviting. I would love to kiss you.
He's the Joe Namath.
He's the Joe Namath of the British press corps. Yeah.
I'm sure that this is inappropriate, but in that first clip, the British guy says to her that it's really been a struggle to her, and to me it sounded like it's really a penis struggle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys caught that clip.
Really
but
penis struggle.
Go back to...
You're right. I've struggled with many penises, depending on girth and other factors.
Oh, wow.
I have a perfect fit in my current husband, and it's good. You know, sometimes I don't even know it's happening. Thank you.
Wait, let's hear that clip. Hold on.
Thank you for asking, because not many people have asked if I'm okay. But it's a very real thing to be going through behind the scenes.
And the answer is, would it be fair to say not really okay, since it's really been a struggle?
Yes.
Really? The other night he rolled over and he said, God damn, that was great. And I said, what? And he had actually completed a sexual act. And I was wholly unaware. I didn't even miss... I was reading a book at the time. I had literally no idea. But that speaks to how quiet he is and how small.
She's turning it into him.
I've had things that were very painful. And I felt, I don't know, in a way, the word would be... I guess, build up. And I don't feel that. I feel as if, I don't know, if a person of short stature would have wandered through the Carlsbad Caverns. I think perhaps that's what his penis must feel like.
Oh, my God.
It's a penis struggle.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up there. I have some other stories.
Sure.
Jenna Dewan is getting real about her split from ex-husband Channing Tatum.
This is totally real.
This is in her new wellness book called Gracefully You, How to Live Your Best Life Every Day.
This sounds horrible.
The 38-year-old writes that she felt blindsided when news...
Blinded by the light.
Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
Because I said blindsided?
Listen, man, I follow along very, very closely with words. In...
Wait, are you
reading over my shoulder?
I'm just reading the headline.
You haven't gotten to the part where she mentions Manfred Mann.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, she writes that
actually,
she...
I've found comfort in the music of Manfred Mann and the Earth Band.
Holy. Okay. Uh-huh. Anyhow, the 30-year-old writes that she felt that word when news of his new romance with Jessie J hit the tabloids in October 2018.
Yeah.
She said, I was learning things about my ex most people wouldn't have to face and over the internet as it was happening, she wrote in an excerpt. There I was, on a plane, alone, finding out about his new relationship. I felt blindsided. Choosing grace as I learned everything about my personal situation along with the rest of the world was really difficult. But wait a minute. So you're not with this guy anymore. You find out he's with someone else. I mean, don't we all find that out?
Sure. I think she's just saying that it's no matter what, it's an uncomfortable thing. But I agree, Preston. In this day and age, it would not be uncommon to find out that your ex is dating someone else over Facebook
Absolutely.
Or Twitter or whatever.
Channing and Dewan share Everly. They announced their split after 9 years of marriage in April 2018. She has found love again, too, though. She is with Steve Casey, a Tony Award-winning actor with whom she is expecting a child.
I was quick.
And despite her shock at Tatum's quick bounce back when fans slammed the 31-year-old singer, Dewan stood up for her on social media. She wrote, women for women all the way. No need for negativity. Let's live in a world where
we're queer, get used to it.
Where we support each other and raise each other up. Like I said before, positive vibes all the way, nothing but respect. Okay.
Bricker, bracker, firecrackers, this boom ba.
Gracefully hits bookshelves October 22nd, by the way.
She's very impressive.
Oh, she's
very
gorgeous.
Talented. Gorgeous.
Yep. Never want to pass up a merchandising opportunity. 22-year-old billionaire Kylie Jenner is selling merchandise inspired by her viral rise and shine moment of singing.
Oh, I can't take this.
From just last week. So there's already merch.
I can't take
it. For a stupid little video that she put out. And it was a tour for her Kylie Cosmetics HQ.
Do you guys know the genesis of this? So she goes, yeah. She has a video. She's going into her daughter's room. And so she opens. I guess she's taking a tour of the house, and this is the dungeon. And she sings a little song, mm-hmm. and this has become a viral explosion.
And it features the words, and I'm going to, as these are written, okay. quote here: rise and shiny.
God,
wait, I'm sorry.
So she's now has hooded sweatshirts that feature the words, and it's R three I's S E and shine, which is S H 3 I's 2 N's and 2 E's. And
they can just make money off of anything.
Anything, and anything. They will. I will guarantee you, this stuff will sell out.
And she captioned it KylieJennerShop.com. Now, she also claims that her 20-month-old baby Stormy has inherited her love for makeup. She said Stormy is actually super into makeup right now, and I quote. It's amazing.
Amazeballs?
It's just amazing. Right. That her 20-month-old is into makeup.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
She added that that just like her mother, Stormy is all about lipstick.
Did Stormy inherit mommy's full surgically enhanced lips?
Yeah, you inherit those.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite Stormy's fascination with makeup, Jenner says she isn't sure when she'll allow her daughter to wear makeup herself. Right. I said, I haven't even thought about when I'm going to let Stormy wear makeup. I don't know. I'm just going to see. She might not even want to wear makeup, but honestly, how things are going, this girl is obsessed with makeup. She begs me at this point.
On average, what do you think is a good, if a young lady wants to start wearing makeup, when do you wait till you let?
Well, there's play makeup when they're right. little
yeah,
for
but
just
when,
fun. But for,
like, how old is your daughter? Does she wear makeup?
She's 12 and... maybe just the tiniest bit,
okay.
But I mean, nail polish, yes, for sure. But I'm not sure about face. I've never seen
like
her do,
putting
like,
your face
do
on?
Her face. No, definitely not.
High school, I would say at the earliest.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'd
say. I have a friend who, how old is her daughter? She's probably a little bit old, a few years older than Caroline. And she does like a full face of makeup in the house, but she makes her wash it off before they leave. Like she lets her play around with it and do her makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, you're not leaving the house.
No,
like
you
that.
Can't. Or she look like JonBenet Ramsey.
I mean, obviously, I think prior to like high school, you know, for special occasions, like you're going to the dance.
Right.
So anyhow, we'll see how that ends up. Steve, I'm mentioning this for you. Maybe you guys, you might remember this actor, Bill Macy.
Yeah.
Passed away. He played Walter Findlay on Bea Arthur's, played Bea Arthur's husband on the popular 1970 sitcom Maude. I always liked this guy.
I did. He was always the put upon guy. He's in a funny movie. I don't know if you remember, with Martin Mull, Preston, called Serial, S-E-R-I-A-L.
I remember the movie. I don't remember his role.
Right. So he leaves his wife and he's just this. He's always the curmudge. Oh, and the jerk.
Is he the?
Oh,
he's
my God. The guy. He's the guest. Optigram. The Optigram.
Yeah, that's him.
And he has a small role in Analyze This. He's Billy.
Yeah.
Crystal.
Billy Crystal's dad, who is he's overshadowing his son, and has kind of been
the bane
of his life. But he plays a small character. What are we playing here?
Nah, it's just Analyze This.
Oh.
Consolieri.
That's a clip from that movie. All right, so he was 97 years old, and he was the death was confirmed by his wife Samantha. His acting career took off after he turned 40 and peaked with his role on Maude. He played Walter on the show's entire run from 1972 to 1978. I always kind of liked that guy, but that show was one of those, you know, Norman Lear spinoff shows that handled things like abortion and alcoholism and
push the boundaries,
racial relations, and all that stuff.
Brought us Adrienne Barbeau.
Well, that's right.
That was Maude's daughter.
Yeah, you're right about that. Netflix's upcoming live action Cowboy Bebop is going on break after lead actor John Cho got injured on the show set in New Zealand. Yeah. It was reportedly a freak accident that happened on the last take of a rehearsed scene. The injury will reportedly require surgery and rehab, and he flew back to L.A. for the surgery. Yeah. Production will be shut down for 7 to 9 months. I don't really know exactly what the injury was.
7 to 9 months?
Yeah.
That's significant.
So he got ripped off.
Wow.
They're saying he's doing well, though.
In a statement to Deadline, a spokesperson from Netflix said, "Our thoughts are with John, and he has our complete support as he recuperates from the injury."
So the question here is, besides all that, which is obviously it's said here that he has some sort of injury, and that's stalled the production here, but when's the next Star Trek movie?
Yeah, I'm curious. Absolutely. Jake Gyllenhaal to the rescue, gang. He saved a Dalmatian who was trapped in the middle of a New York City intersection. According to reports, the dog was on a leash, but had gotten away from its owner, and he reportedly calmed the dog down and led it back to its owner.
Aww.
If you didn't like him enough already, Jake Gyllenhaal, what a guy. He has several dogs, by the way, including a puggle named Boo Radley and a German shepherd named Atticus.
There you go. This is the Kill a Mockingbird theme.
So he's a dog dude.
What's a puggle?
I guess it's a pug and a beagle, probably.
Oh.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
Yep. Jim Carrey and Ginger Gonzaga have called it quits.
I didn't even know they were together.
I don't know. Who's Ginger Gonzaga?
She's dating Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You know.
Apparently, they were co-stars in Kidding, and they split months ago.
That was the Mr. Rogers kind of show, yeah.
There's another season coming out, is there not?
Don't know.
All right. Yeah, I know who she is. She plays a cancer patient in the show and becomes a love interest.
But apparently that happened in real life, Casey.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
She's very purty. We're looking at a photo of her right here.
Jim Carrey apparently is a real roller coaster with relationships. People who have dated him, including like Jenny McCarthy and so on and so forth, say that he is mercurial, to say the least.
We're looking at her IMDb, and I don't really recognize much from her. So she might be an up-and-comer.
She heads the North American Puggle Society. So.
She was busy with that.
Yeah, the NAP.
Takes a lot of your time.
The NAPS.
Yeah. North American naps. Just like and dogs take naps.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we could just shut the mic off and let
the show
write itself.
North American Puggle Society.
Cool.
Naps.
Not to be mistaken with nips.
No, very different.
No, no. What is NIPS? That is the...
The Nocturnal Investigations of Paranormal Situations. It was an old bit from way back years ago. They made their red carpet debut in January at the 2019 Golden Globes, but they're done. They're done. Finished, yep.
He seems that, like, it seems when he goes dark, he can go into a funk for a long time.
Yeah.
And you remember there was this story with the girlfriend who OD'd Preston. There were people who were saying that it might have been the way that he treated her or you know, the overwrought nature of their relationship that might have led her to that. Now, he didn't kill her, but still, a lot of people were saying.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to do that to somebody.
I don't think it is either. Especially if they're... if they've got,
issues.
Depression or bipolar or something like that. But, who knows? All right, so I forgot about this. A jury has recommended that the so-called Hollywood Ripper, Michael Gargiulo, be sentenced to death for murdering two women in the attempted murder of another. Now, why am I putting this in entertainment news? One of the women who was murdered, Ashley Ellerin, was dating Ashton Kutcher at the time, and he actually testified against this guy a few months ago.
He showed up at the house. They were supposed to go out on a date, didn't he? And didn't he show up at the house and knock at the door, and she didn't come to the door? Something, I think that's part of his testimony, Preston.
Like
where
that.
He was
that's right.
He actually went. She was dead inside the house, unbeknownst to him.
Yes,
he went to the house to pick her up, and this is what had happened. Now. He's getting the death penalty in California, and didn't California, though, stop the death penalty?
They suspended it. Yeah. So I'm reading this right now, Steve. So it was earlier this year, they suspended the death penalty indefinitely. So who knows what this
It's an automatic life sentence then.
I would assume so.
That's what happened with Manson. When Manson, they had just suspended the death penalty when Charles Manson was... sentenced to death.
And but does that maybe mean that you can be found guilty and be sentenced to death, and even though it's suspended, if they do overturn it, then maybe you would it wouldn't
reactivate it? Perhaps I don't know. I know it's very exculpatory.
He testified against him a few months ago, and this guy will be sentenced in February of 2020. So we'll see what ends up happening. Let's see, John Boyega has scored the lead role in Netflix's film, They Cloned Tyrone. It is billed as a Friday meets Get Out film. It's a sci-fi mystery in which a trio investigates a series of weird events. So I don't know if this is a film or a... Well, it says... I don't know if it's a movie or...
Is it a recipe?
Well, I don't know if it's a series or not. That's my question.
Oh.
They cloned Tyrone.
I like him.
I do too.
He's very talented.
The final trailer for Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, is tonight during Monday Night Football.
Nice. Did you ever see the movie? The first time I saw him was in a movie called Attack the Block. Did you ever see that? British sci-fi movie where it's really kind of cool. The one problem is that they're speaking in whatever...
Cockney?
Yeah. Okay, and it's a lot of the language is hard to understand, but it's pretty badass. Mm.
Let's see. How about this? This is kind of interesting. After serving 80% of a 5-year sentence, Peter Robbins, the original voice of beloved cartoon character Charlie Brown, is hoping for a comeback.
Good luck.
I know I was certainly mentally ill. I wish I had gotten treatment earlier by professionals. The now 63-year-old who suffers from bipolar disorder is a convicted 2-strike felon for making criminal threats against several people, including San Diego County Sheriff William Gore. He said, I went on a manic phase where I bought a motorhome, a mobile home, 2 German sports cars, and a pit bull named Snoopy.
Do you know what the deal is? And they say a lot of this, a lot of the therapists have said that this all goes back to when he would trick or treat, all he would get was rocks.
Was a rock.
Yeah. Yeah. And it drove him to the edge.
Yeah.
I got 5 pieces of candy. I got a chocolate bar. I got a quarter. I got a rock.
I watched that this week. I watched it Friday night. And what kills me is if you think it's hilarious. And I remember as a kid just laughing uncontrollably. But it's the adults who are dispensing the rocks. They had to make a concerted neighborhood-wide effort to make sure that all Charlie Brown got was a rock.
We need to
let this kid know how horrific he is.
During part of his stay at George Bailey Detention Center. Is a George Bailey Detention Center?
Yeah, it's from the movie It's Not Such a Wonderful Life.
I guess so, right? Why don't you come on in?
It turns out there's a lot of criminals out there. I thought everything was wonderful, but they're criminals. You gotta keep them caged up like animals. Welcome to the George Bailey Detention Center.
Wow, it's in Otay.
Bring back the death penalty.
It's in Otay Mesa, by the way.
Otay.
Otay.
Oh my God.
Okay,
it's right
so
next
now,
to Buckwheatville.
So now we've got the Little Rascals and It's a Wonderful Life together.
And Charlie the Brown. Warden of my prison is buckwheat.
What world is this? And they're throwing Charlie Brown in prison. Yeah.
The Shaw Spanky Redemption.
So
all over the place.
During part of his stay at George Bailey Detention Center in 2015 in Otay Mesa.
I know George Bailey. He runs a hell of a prison.
Robinson said he was welcomed by inmates in an unforgettable way. He said they pull you out of bed at 4 a.m., they throw a blanket over your head and beat you for 20 seconds.
No way.
That's sweet that they would take the time to put something like that together.
Well, it's what we do here, George Bailey Detention Center.
I beat the crap out of you.
Later at Chino Men's Prison, you've heard of that.
Oh, yes. I think Manson did a little time in Chino.
He encountered a shirtless inmate with a swastika tattooed from his upper chest to his waist, and he said, "Listen, moron, when you're in the yard, put a shirt on. I know what that symbol means. My grandfather died at the hands of the Nazis."
Well, I'm a big Charlie Brown fan, so I'm going to do that for you, okay?
The former child actor, who also appeared in TV series including Get Smart and The Munsters, said his lowest point came in solitary confinement. He said these people were screaming all throughout the night, plus the guards knocked on your door every 20 minutes to make sure you're still alive.
This is an interesting story. The genius of those original, we talked about this, those Charlie Brown cartoons, is that they had actual kids who were not necessarily trained actors reading the lines. And they have, it's such a unique sound to those cartoons.
The former child actor, Robbins had been treated for addictions to drugs, alcohol, and sex, but it was his mental demons that got him transferred to the mental hospital.
We're putting into the cell next to the kid who played Johnny Quest.
Before being released to a sober living home, he said, "I would recommend to anybody that has bipolar disorder to take it seriously because your life can turn around in a span of a month like it did to me."
Those original, I wonder how many of the original kids, because they played in both the Christmas special and the Halloween special is the same cast. How many of those kids are still around?
Well, that's a good question. Well, all right, and we should move on to clips now. All right, so Catherine the Great, a miniseries about the temptress politician who ruled the Russian Empire in the 18th century, features her forbidden affair with the Russian military leader Grigory Potemkin?
Yes.
In this clip, Jason Clark talks about Grigory's appeal to the monarch, and here's the clip.
Well, I mean, she's the center of the universe, and she's incredibly attractive, not just as a female, but because of who she is, and because of what she represents, and that everything revolves in and out of her.
I like big balls.
Catherine the Great premieres tonight at 10 o'clock on HBO. Jason Clark, that dude's British?
Yeah.
No, Australian.
Oh, Australian.
Oh, he's Australian?
He's great.
I had no idea.
He's so good. He played Ted Kennedy in Chappaquiddick.
Okay.
And did a phenomenal job. And I love this movie. I love Everest.
Yeah, it's great.
And he has such a good heart that comes through in that movie.
And he was the lead dude in Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
He's really good. Wow. Okay, next clip. Young women must band together to escape from a seemingly blissful island that holds a menacing secret in the new movie Paradise Hills. Here, director Alice Waddington discusses her influences for the film. Here we go.
There is my obsession with Japanese comic books, my obsession with sort of 90s kitsch and 90s girl bands even. There's a 17th century wardrobe. There's a lot packed into it.
I don't give a f***.
Paradise Hills comes to theaters this Friday.
Oh, may I mention something that eluded your entertainment report? It came in over the weekend.
No, I was going to do it later on.
All right. Then
talk about our buddy.
Yep.
All right.
I put a ticker lock on it, Preston.
Yep. All good. All right. So we will take a break. We'll come back. We have a Not Your Average listener this morning on the program. We also have your chance to win all kinds of stuff through the course of the morning. We got a movie screening coming up. We got Free Music Monday. Make sure that you stay with us. Oh, and another trip to L.A. for the Word of the Week prize. Be pretty cool.
Wow.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey.
You know the time has come.
So don't mess me with a gun.
Shinedown.
My monsters are real. And that's right, Halloween.
Ghost.
Because it's mine.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So, you know what? I think it's time to dust off some of the items on the shelf and welcome you all into the general store. Because I've got some odds and ends that I need to go through before I get rid of, or before these items get backed up.
You know? It's the general store, the odds and ends. Prior to Preston Elliott, sure glad to welcome you inside. This is just another way that we prepackage the same crap we do all the time.
So don't you see me as wearing like an apron?
Yeah, like Sam Drucker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't know what because he's not a butcher. You don't know what that's for.
No, I don't know why. All right, so come on in because I got some things to sell you here. We'll start with this, actually.
Licorice is only $5 a stick.
We had Steven mention the story that he sent over to me, and I wanted to have a little bit more room for it, and we're going to do it here. But our good friend Michael Giacchino is what this story is about. Most movies get their composers in, behind-the-scenes deals, but The Batman is a bit different. This happened publicly. I'm sure it was planned ahead of time.
Yes, it wasn't a shock, but it was still very cool.
But the agreement on stage happened at Royal Albert Hall, where Michael Giacchino, for those who may not be familiar, we've mentioned him many, many, many times on the air here. He's a composer. He's given us great things like the movies The Incredibles and Up and Ratatouille and Zootopia, and we went out for Spider-Man Homecoming and saw him working in the studio. He is going to do the film The Batman. He's going to
finish it.
And apparently Matt Reeves, the director, asked him to do it on stage at Royal Albert Hall.
In an actual proposal.
Yeah.
So he got down on one knee.
Yeah.
I believe that Giacchino was dressed as Godzilla.
No. David Arnold was dressed
as
Godzilla.
Arnold, okay.
Yeah. Giacchino was out. And actually, Steve, I read the article, too, and it says that Giacchino was dressed as Godzilla, but he was not. He was there for a composer battle-off with another guy named David Arnold, and for whatever reason, David Arnold decided, who has composed Godzilla, to do the composition dressed as Godzilla. But
why not?
Giacchino was dressed like a normal guy.
All right.
Yeah. So he's going to do the Batman, which is awesome.
I love it. Matt Reeves, so I watched Cloverfield over the weekend, the original one, which Matt Reeves directed, and Giacchino did the score. So, listen, and the Apes movies, I don't know if you watch the Apes movies as they progress, Matt Reeves directed those.
I have not, no.
And I saw the first one, and I was like, okay, and then I sort of, moved away, and then I came back after they were all completed and watched them. Mm-hmm. They're really good.
Yep.
Really good. So Matt Reeves is a solid director. The Batman, I think Robert Pattinson is a solid choice. We'll see where we go. And then Michael Giacchino, the music. And over the weekend, I was tweeting out, retweeting the announcement and saying this will be, we'll save him the work of having to invite us. Yes, we would love to come out and be present for a live broadcast from the studio as you score the Batman.
He's asked us in a tweet to come and broadcast from his house.
Yeah.
Do our show from his house.
And I already pre-thanked him for the fully working Batmobile that he will...
That he's going to present to you?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Because I know he would be bashful.
So we'll have to see if we can make something like that.
Oh, my God.
I think he's going to call us on Wednesday of this week. I talked to him a little bit last week.
Awesome.
And he's in London, or was in London either until yesterday or until today. So his travel plans were kind of up in the air, but hopefully at some point this weekend it looked like Wednesday was going to be open for us, which would work for him.
What a talent.
Yeah.
What an
amazing. And
talent.
He'll do a great job with the Batman.
Yep, he will. Okay, what else do we have in here, folks? Step right up. Let me
take a look on this show.
Hey, here's something I think you'll enjoy. Qantas Airlines.
Yes.
Enjoyed its first nonstop flight from New York to Sydney on Sunday.
Whoa. And how many hours was
that? It is the world's longest nonstop commercial flight, which was used to carry out tests to evaluate the effects of very long flights on crew fatigue and passenger jet lag. A total of 49 people were on board the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, which landed after a 19-hour and 16-minute flight.
19 hours and 16 minutes. But those are absolute things that you need to be concerned with. Crew fatigue.
Oh, my God.
Also, getting up and moving around to stop, blood clots and things like that forming in your legs. Mm-hmm. All of those things are things that you have to be concerned with.
The flight was part of Project Sunshine, which is Qantas's goal to operate regular, nonstop commercial flights from Australian cities Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne to London and New York.
So, Preston, were they running also studies on the luggage plane that was following that plane?
They're going to do that in the next. Okay. They're going to be concerning themselves with people first.
And then the luggage
plane. And then the luggage plane later on. You would have to do a flight like that, you would have to make sure that every single seat has the ability to recline way back. Because I can't do it. There's no way. That flight back from Hawaii was a freaking nightmare for me. It was 5 hours from Hawaii to L.A. And then by the time we got to L.A., two-hour layover, and then the red eye back in here. And on that red eye, I was sitting in a middle seat.
Oh,
my God. It did not recline enough. I couldn't sleep at all. And for that amount of time, you get some serious fatigue. I felt lousy. I felt physically lousy.
Which you'd have, honestly, you'd have to, or at least should, besides that, extra comfortable seats. You know, the way to do it would be the way they have it in Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, my God.
You know, those where you basically have like a suite.
Yeah.
With your own bed and everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, that might be a premium cost. But
how much do you think that is?
That's probably... Okay.
New York to Singapore.
When you watch the skip-up on just traveling first class as opposed to a regular flight, sometimes it can be like 10 times the price.
Nick, right. I'd say it's got to be $20,000.
Oh, my God.
Or something ridiculous like that.
If somebody knows who's a travel agent, let us know.
For the tiniest little bit of amenities,
yeah.
So they jack the prices way up. And they do it in a very... unique way. When you're online and you're booking your flight and it says, you know, it'll say something along the lines of, a bump up to first class for an additional whatever. And it has an amount. And you're like, hey, I can afford that.
I can do that.
And you realize that it's not exactly that amount. It seems like it's that amount, but it ends up being triple that. I don't know how. I've done it before. I've been deceived. I haven't actually paid for it.
It varies.
But I've started to go through it. And I'm like, wait a minute. That final total looks a little ridiculous to me.
It varies,
I can't justify it. Here you go. $23,000.
$23,000
on Singapore Airlines. That's the suite
there. Right, the suite there and $23,000 for that. And how long is that flight, say, from here to Singapore?
It's long. My dad took it one time. It's like a 15-hour flight from what I understand, but...
But you get free champagne.
You get free champagne, so there's your
purse. Yes. It's not $23,000 champagne?
$1,000.
No wonder they end up crazy. Yeah.
Rose petals on the bed.
But I can't...
That's a stripper, by the way.
It's not the noise or anything like that when it comes to me being able to actually get shut-eye on a flight. It's the comfortable.
Comfort,
it's being able to position my body.
I love this illustration here. What airlines think humans look like pressing up on the screen.
Yeah, there's a picture of a guy who has a two-foot-long leg.
Normal torso and totally shrunken legs.
By the way, I finally did find a pillow that will work for me on a flight.
No way.
Does it come with a full bed?
The only problem is it looks like a penis and testicles. I kid you not. It's I'd have to show it to you. It looks phallic. You would not believe it. It's called it's called the J pillow.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, but I know what penis and testicles look like. So.
Oh, okay.
So describe it.
You can see those?
Yeah, I can see those.
Yeah, my uncle has.
Nice. Picture those. Saw one in the mirror this morning.
It's called the J pillow. Marissa, see
it was your neighbor's mirror.
If they can find a, there it is.
There it does. You're right. It looks like a hooked penis with testicles. So, so how does one's head?
Well, you see the guy up there. There's a picture of him.
Oh, well, that would work.
It actually is a really good travel.
You have
pillow.
To have a bulkhead though to lean it to.
And well, it can kind of still work without one because I sat in an aisle seat and managed to get comfortable.
So the guy next to you. Do you mind if I rest my pillow on your head?
It's crazy. Hang on a second. We have a travel agent. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning. First time caller. First time I've made it through.
But, awesome.
Thank you.
You guys forever.
Cool, man.
So I used to work in travel agency, AAA travel agency down in Dover, Delaware. So most of the flights that I would get or that I would book were from either Philly, BWI, occasionally Dulles or even Newark up in Jersey. When you ballparked $20,000 a couple of minutes ago, believe it or not, that is not out of the question. I remember someone was flying from Philly to Heathrow, London, they said, my mom's kind of old. Maybe we could bump her up to first class. And I said, okay, I'll check. And it was, I think, like $600. And it was the first class was, I believe, $12,000.
From $600 to $12,000. And let me ask you something, Mike. They do vacillate, don't they? So sometimes...
Oh, flights are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I went to a training class, and they handed us this this sheet of paper as we sat down in our training class when I first got hired.
Oh, we lost him.
Goofy little...
Oh, there you go. Now you're back. Go ahead, Mike. We lost you for a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I passed under a bridge just then.
Okay.
They handed me this little paper... as an introductory to our training class when I first got hired. And it was this goofy little analogy. And it said, what if Home Depot sold paint like flights? And it says, okay, sir, well, you can only use green paint on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You can only use red paint on Saturdays and Sundays. The yellow paint is sometimes $500, sometimes $20, depending on the day. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is actually how flights operate. It's ridiculous.
No, that's, and that's a very true analogy because I've known that sometimes I'll say, you know, let's check out what first class is. Mm-hmm. A difference of $600 to $12,000 for the same flight to Heathrow is outlandish.
It is.
Yes, it is. And you should have seen the look on the lady's face across from the desk.
Well, in good news, they could actually, she passed out and died. They just shipped her body over to Heathrow at an extreme savings. Yeah.
Wow. All right, Mike, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
Of course. I love you guys.
Thanks, bud.
Sorry,
take care.
About the Eagles.
No, man. Me too, bro.
I confess I'm a Redskins man myself. I'm a transplant.
Well, sorry,
originally from Ireland.
We noticed.
But then from D.C. So when I made the move. But anyways, I won't take any more of your time.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a great day.
You too, bud. Right. We'll see you. Yeah, and then you take a look at what you could get for $600 versus the $12,000 amenities. It's not much. Well, I mean, you get more room and you're more comfortable, no question. But $12,000.
He made a good point with that sheet. It's like, you would like a hamburger? Yes, that'd be $600.
Yeah.
Would you like it with cheese? Yes, that'll be $12,000.
Right.
And so I think, like, every now and then I don't mind paying for upgrades or amenities or whatever. But to me, that doesn't seem worth it because it's the same plane getting you to the same place in the same amount of time.
Yep.
If you're in first class, I probably would just pass out for that amount of time. I wouldn't enjoy the experience enough to be worth it. I'd have to have FU money, like $1 billion.
To be honest, for me, it's about buying the chair. It's about buying the extra comfortable chair. Yeah. If you have any chance of getting sleep, I think you need something like that. Or at least the ones that have... You know, the little quasi booths with the reclining bed.
On the trip on our Hawaii vacation this past summer, I flew to Dallas first and then to Hawaii. And the flight from here to Dallas, I bumped it up, not to first class, but to whatever class was up next. It wasn't business class; it was called something else.
Patrician.
And it was Patrician.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
No, it was worth it because it had a recliner where your feet could. Yeah, exactly. It had a couple. It had a little bit more.
It helps
width room, and I was comfortable. I'm like, this is all I need. This is great.
Give me something.
And it wasn't crazy more expensive. It was maybe $75 extra, or something like that. Yeah, it wasn't hundreds of dollars more.
I disagree with you, though, Nick. I think if I had the money, that would be worth it to travel like that, to be comfortable, and.
Sleep?
When you talk, but you talk about experiencing it, like sleeping and being able to get there and not be like a complete zombie.
Right. That's the key.
To me, it would be worth it to start, especially if it's a vacation, to start your vacation and be able to function. I'd love that.
Right. And I've said this all the time. And you have to do the cost analysis. But if you're going to say you're going to Rome, but for the first day and a half of your trip in Rome, you're a complete zombie, you've wasted that money.
Yeah, hang on. Mark has been to Singapore 5 times in the last year and a half. Hey, Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, bud. You doing this trip for work, I assume?
Yeah.
All right, what's that flight like?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Because, you know, again, for work flights, you know, they don't pay for business class or for first class. So I'm way in the back in you know, the economy section. Mm. And, you know, the thing that makes it worse is that, you know, when you get on the plane, you first got to go in where first class is.
Yes.
So they have
yes.
You have these pods and all these people with these luxury little units. and you got to walk all the way past them, you know, and you see these families with little kids. I mean, little kids.
Don't touch him. Yeah. Oh, don't touch him, dear.
Yeah, yeah, Mark, keep that in mind. That little kid is a $20,000 price tag, too.
I know. Yeah. They basically, you know, say, hey, look, you know, spit on those people as they walk by. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
So, I like you in the back with the accordion, and they're all dancing and singing. Like the Titanic.
It gets so bad that when I finally arrive there,
taking a swig out of the same wine bottle. Yeah!
There's a fist fight. Yeah. In the back.
I want that shit! I want those mixed nuts!
I've got a friend who flies first class with her two kids, and she knows. She goes, people get on, they hate me. She goes, I know they do.
And she loves it.
Well, no, she said, she's just, that's how they fly.
Hey, Mark, how long is that Singapore flight, direct?
So it's usually 6 hours. I have to take 3 flights in a leg. So only recently have they come up with a direct flight. But now, normally I go from here to L.A., then from L.A., which is, you know, usually
5 hours. Yeah.
Then there is a flight from L.A. to Hong Kong, which is 14 hours.
Oh, my God.
And then there's a flight from Hong Kong to Singapore, which is another 6 hours on top of that.
So
actually, you pass the international dateline, so it takes 2.5 days.
You must be insanely confused by the time you get there.
Oh, it's horrible. And then when you finally get there, you know, I need to take an extra day off because I can't sleep on the plane, just like you. I'm the same person. I can't sleep at all. And so by the time I get there, I'm a waste. And so I basically have to get into the hotel and sleep for a day before I can do anything.
So I guess, obviously, because it's so outlandish to put somebody in first class or business class on one of those flights, but I think a company might consider, you know what, when we get this person here, we're going to gain back a day of productivity, so maybe it's worth the investment.
Yeah, you know, I'll get my boss to call you because...
let me talk to him. I do a radio show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Mark. Wow, that's a travel day. Well, listen, they've tested this out. Qantas, the first nonstop flight from New York to Sydney. It's a 19 hours and change.
I wonder, like, Preston, by hour 17, if the in-flight crew is, get it yourself.
Yeah, totally. We've had it. We're on break.
Yeah.
Man.
To hell.
They have to sleep, right? I mean, the crew, the everybody. Pilots. Yeah.
Hey, you, hit that alert button one more time. I'm going to break your arm.
All right, let's find some other things that are up for sale on the shelves of the general store here. Odds and ends, that's the...
Yeah, it's
the
general store, and Preston's the proprietor.
The segment that we're doing now. Granny panties are apparently back in fashion.
Love the way they smell.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean?
They're back in fashion?
Yeah.
Like underwear?
According to research...
I'm wearing them right now.
According to research from John Lewis, and this is, by the way, the story's out of the UK, so the word knickers is used a lot. Comfy knickers are flying off the shelves.
Knickers is such a stupid word.
Bridget Jones style briefs have seen an 11% increase in popularity, and in contrast, restrictive lingerie hasn't been going down as well with customers. Sexy suspenders have seen an 8% drop in demand, while push-up bra sales have declined by 7%. Nancy Dressel, lingerie buyer, said 2019 was the year that we saw customers move towards more comfortable options when it came to the lingerie choices. Seam-free crop tops and fuller briefs were some of our best-selling items.
Okay.
Yeah. You can feel sexy, but you can still get some air on your balls.
I think when you said that, I immediately thought of, like, you know, like the big giant pair from Walmart.
Oh, my God. I told you the story when I was charged with picking up underwear for my wife before a trip, and I bought like a five or six pack of those granny panties, having no idea what she wanted.
Seam-free crop tops and are much comfier and underwired and push-up bras. So than underwire and push-up bras. So it's no surprise that women are opting for these.
I assume, like, on a casual, comfortable level, they got to be much better.
And when it comes to panties, tight G-strings and thongs aren't always very functional.
Of course not.
High-waisted briefs, breathable knickers, and cotton shorts are readily available for customers this year. And the granny panties trend isn't the only comfy style to resurface in recent months. Apparently, earlier this year, the quote, and I'm quoting in this story, the full bush pubic hair style is back.
It's back.
Mm-hmm. Holistic.
Hey, the full bush pubic style is back.
Holistic OBGYN Dr. Eden Fromberg recently spoke to Vogue about pubic hair trends.
So, do you know anybody who is single who is could vouch for this supposed return to the fuller bush?
If you look to the porn industry, it is certainly celebrating that.
Yeah.
So the New York-based expert said many women grow out their pubes because they choose function over fashion.
Mm.
She said women are becoming increasingly aware that our bodies are a lot more than visual or sexual playthings. We want to express our diversity and power, live our preferences, mm-hmm. and feel comfortable in our own bodies without judgment. By growing pubes.
By growing huge.
Well, I added that last part. By a big,
huge, messy bushes. No, I think ultimately it's your call. I, for my own personal taste, I keep myself fairly trimmed down.
Sure.
I mean, I don't go hardwood, but I keep it respectable.
Common courtesy.
I fumigate and delouse twice a week.
That's good. My dad told a story last night, and I want to ask you guys if
your mother has a huge bush.
No. I'm going back to underwear.
Would you come in here, Nick? I have something to tell you. I adore the woman, but it's gotten outlandish. I came into the room, and I was feeling randy, and I thought Sasquatch had beaten me in there.
Had a nice dinner with the family last night. All being ruined.
Your mother's bush.
All right! It's gigantic.
That's
it's
enough.
Crazy. I fought in the war, and I never experienced in Vietnam, in jungles so thick you needed, the machete blade would become dull within minutes.
Sorry, Dad.
I haven't seen anything like this ever.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, what were you saying, son? you wanted to borrow the car, of course.
No. My dad was telling a story about a friend of his growing up, and he told this story at dinner last night. By the way, he's listening right now, Dad, so sorry about that.
Yeah.
Comment about mom's bush. Listen, have you guys ever heard of paper underwear?
This
is my question. And so he told this story about his friend Rich growing up, and that Rich, for a stretch of time, wore underwear that was made out of paper, and he did it because I guess they were disposable.
Yes.
And they were, so he went through a phase, and I'd never heard of paper underwear before, so I just wanted to bring that up to see if anybody in the room had it or any of our listeners.
Wasn't it a fad for a little while?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
That it was a fad, that it was something that they were basically disposable.
Yeah.
And you would wear them for a few days tops and then toss them out and then get a new pair.
I wear them when I get a spray tan.
You wear paper underwear?
Okay.
They provide them, and then you just throw them out.
And then you're done, right?
Yeah.
That way it protects your parts. You don't get sprayed on your parts.
Man, would you like your huge bush protected? I would say we should go with oak tag on this one.
And that way you don't ruin
paper or cardboard.
You don't ruin underwear.
And your bush isn't in the lady's face.
Right. So.
Wow.
Wow.
She's like this. Your bush is in my face.
Can you trim that thing?
Get your bush out of my face.
Now, we're looking at a picture of paper underwear. Do they make men's paper underwear? Marissa, can you see if they can search on that real quick? Because I don't know if...
And Rich Smith was not in the tanning booth, so he's not going to get, a spray tan. He would wear them as functional and serviceable underwear and then throw them away.
By the way, there's a text that says, "Will you forget about the bush?" For a moment. I was not familiar with paper underwear.
Yeah. They do make men's paper underwear, but they're disposable. I can't imagine that they're used for everyday use. Like, there's got to be some other purpose to have this. And maybe, like, if you're hiking or something like that, you go out on a camping trip.
It's just disposable. In the 30s, there used to be newspaper underwear, and they'd sell them on every corner.
I guess maybe if they're really, really cheap and you can buy a lot of them and it's just one less thing you have to wash, for a guy. I don't really know.
Yeah, but according to my dad and Rich, that this was a fad that he did for a little while and he got into wearing paper underwear.
By the way, my friend Rich.
Paper underwear.
Uh-huh. It's not like loose leaf paper. It had a diaper texture to it.
Yeah.
I think it's like the stuff that Kathy's talking about in the tanning booth.
Yeah. The stuff they use to wrangle in her enormous bush.
I can get you a 10 pack for $3.99.
All right.
A 10 pack for $3.99.
Yeah.
So you get 10 days out of $4.
doesn't seem worth it. Just wash your underwear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you can't wash paper because it falls apart.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. Which, by the way, anytime you've been given these disposable things, when you go to the hospital or something like that, and they give you the, it's just none of that stuff is A, flattering, of course, not comfortable at all. The little fake, you know, shoes that you kind of slip on, or just
I like
all
the
that.
Socks that they give you.
I'm not mad at the socks. I like the socks. With the little
grippy bottoms on them.
I have said, and I know you agree with this wholeheartedly, Preston, there needs to be a revolution,
yes,
a quantum innovation in hospital gowns.
There does.
They're horrible.
When you go for an MRI now, at least at Penn, and you guys know this, as you've been there, they give you two of them now.
Yes.
You put one on forward and one on backwards. I'm like, why not just make one that you don't have to do all that?
Yes.
Like a robe.
Why don't you forget about the gown?
Yes.
I do like hospital socks are great.
Well, that's what he was saying. Yeah, with the little grippies on the bottom.
Yeah, but using that material in the gown.
Using that material in the gown.
Yeah.
As the gown?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and they can't make a robe like you suggested. The reason why they have it so it opens in the back is so you don't have to be completely naked. So, you know what I mean? You can cover your front or you can...
Well, there's got to be a...
I understand. There's got to be a better way.
The methodology is dumb. And then, and then I'll hold it there and I'm like, am I putting my head through the armhole? Yeah.
Nobody knows how to do it.
And I hate when you have to sit bare ass on the paper.
Yeah.
And it like... I'm sorry. Am I the only one where it crawls up your ass crack?
I do not like it. I do not like it at all.
It always rips by the time I'm done. It's torn, and then my butt ends up on the actual, you know, pleather material or whatever that is. I'm like, okay, what was the point of the paper being here?
Your ass eats the paper.
Yeah, Casey's ass eats, swallows the paper, apparently.
It's like a goat.
All right. Anyhow, so granny panties. And full bush back in fashion, according to this particular story.
Right. Most of all, I remember grandmother's bush.
Can I do one more case?
Yeah.
All right, man, there's so many different ones here. I don't want to land on something that's too heavy.
Well, because it'll break the shelf.
Yes, it will.
At the general store.
Let me...
The odds and ends.
That's right. We're going
where
to
you're
the
proprietor.
Odds and ends here. All right, because I do have some things that are a little bit serious. All right, should I stay with fashion?
Yes, for Kathy. Let's give her a good Monday.
More granny panties.
There's a thing called flip-flop socks.
Okay.
Which aim to keep your feet warm while still allowing you to wear flip-flops.
Oh, I have them.
They've kind of had them for a while, like the short socks.
I have them for a pedicure.
Okay. So this is probably what you're talking about. What in the world did they just pull up?
That's the ninja boot.
Yeah, there's a picture with...
Well, that looks like it could be a flip-flop sock, too. Okay, so mine, the toenail, obviously, is out the top so that I can still get a pedicure and wear socks.
So these have exposed toes and heels.
Okay, mine has a heel.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's basically like if you have a like an ankle wrap.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Okay, so...
Chips and a Coke.
Julie Denno, owner of Etsy store Off the Hook by Julie, is located in upstate New York, and she sells homemade crocheted flip-flop socks online. She said, I would prefer to be barefoot, but in the winter, it's too cold in upstate New York to do that. She says her design, which features exposed heels and toes, was inspired by several sock patterns. The openness allows wearers to easily slip into their flip-flops or sandals, but also aims to prevent slipping in activities such as yoga and gymnastics.
Gymnastics and flip-flops?
So you can No. So you take your flip-flops off, and then you still the pads of your feet basically are touching the ground and can kind of grip.
So I wear socks that have, you know, and I wear for hiking a lot, which they have no toes in the...
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, and they're sort of a compression sock.
Yeah.
So you're in there comfortably, but it doesn't, the fabric of the sock doesn't pull back on your toes when you're on an angle.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Isn't part of these socks like to prevent your feet from getting cold and when your tootsies be freezing with the... being exposed like that?
Yeah, but I guess you get some warmer, partial warmth from
is
that.
So I'm looking at this leg here. Is this a, is that a man's leg? Because
nah, those are,
oh,
those
she
are
has
cankles.
A
pedicure. Yeah.
It's just kind of wide ankles, I guess.
Yeah, the ladies who, they went back to, they're from Korea, and when they went back, they bought all of these socks. They brought them back, and everyone who comes into their store last Christmas got one kind of as like a little gift. So
okay.
I wear them every time I go in the wintertime when I go to get a pedicure.
Do you guys get stuff from Etsy every now and then?
Yeah.
I've never gotten anything from Etsy. Do you?
Yeah, it's very, you know,
crafty,
creative and crafty stuff. And so sometimes I'll just do a blind search on a search engine, and it'll take me to Etsy, as you can find this
like a paper bush cozy.
Exactly, exactly.
I bought you shorts from Etsy.
Oh, the fisherman shorts. Yeah. I love those shorts. Yeah. Those are great. They do have some good stuff on there. And,
I should check then.
And I've started to, I finally got a Pinterest account, and that's kind of cool. There's some neat stuff on there.
You finally got it like 20 years later.
I did too. Within the past 6 months, I did as well, and I put the things that I like, and I get my notifications, and I never look at them.
Yeah. Oh, you don't?
Hardly ever, no.
I found a lot of good recipes.
That's what I use it for. Recipes and nail art. No, I do.
You cook?
No. Well, most of them are desserts.
Okay.
I want to see what people make for food.
Yeah. I did it for backyard designs.
You're redoing your backyard.
Possibly, maybe. I don't know. You just keep going back and forth. Yeah, and you get ideas. But, like, I really don't know how to really do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, somebody needs to help with the visualization of it, and that's what these types of things
do. No. I mean, I don't know how to do Pinterest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm still not finding.
I don't know how to do Reddit.
Yeah. It's just reading.
I didn't even know you did Reddit.
I don't.
I'm just saying, period.
Oh, you in general.
Like, isn't it, don't you just read things?
The plural you. Well, you can, there's like a way to do it.
To contribute.
Yeah, to be more effective on your Reddit.
Oh.
Mm, I don't know.
I never want to get to that point.
Neither do I. But anyhow, if you want your flip-flop socks, you got to go on Etsy, and you can get those there.
Don't you sell them at the general store there? The Odds and Ends?
We do. Step on in. Come on in, partner. Well, it's the banjo, maybe. Feel that way. Anyhow, thank you. These were a few things that
Thanks for coming by the Odds and Ends. Prior to Preston Elliott, bid you a fond farewell. Hope you return soon.
I can't say y'all come back now, right?
Why don't you bring back that wife of yours, the one with the super huge bush?
All right, as we are taking a break, I'm going to give something away. Casey and I have both been to this place. It's in the King of Prussia Mall. It's very cool, and we have a Preston and Steve night that is going to be taking place at the Happy Place.
Oh, this looks so cool.
And I have a 4-pack of tickets to join us at the King of Prussia Thursday, November 14th, 6 to 8 p.m. It's an interactive, immersive exhibit featuring more than 15,000 square feet of playful spaces and cheerful moments. So let's take, how many Shaggy Boy? Case, two of them?
Yeah, I mean, because we have a lot of time before the actual
I'll just do two for now. We'll take callers number 18 and 19 at 215-263-WMMR. By the way, it's been called the most Instagrammable pop-up in America. Tickets are on sale now at happyplace.me. And the exhibit is here through January 5th, occupying the space where JCPenney was inside the mall. So callers 18 and 19, we are going to set you up. 215-263-WMMR. We will take a break. The B-File is coming up, as well as a Not Your Average Listener this morning.
Awesome.
So stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Nick, can you bring up the webpage that was up there beforehand?
Yeah, man.
I know you got the text messages up, but I wanted to mention the fact that we have a new feature available for your viewing pleasure on PrestonSteve.com, and it is an inside peek of the life of Miss October from our Totally Office calendar. That is Angelina, a little Q&A.
I love that.
And a couple of extra photos as well, and it's just kind of a quick little featurette on the gals that that populate that calendar. We're going to have a new one out in the very near future.
It's such an important, listen, it's a big part of the Camp Out for Hunger. It's with the tchotchke that we hand out, and it's great to have it year-round.
So if you want to learn more about the ladies, you can take a look now, and we have each of the gals featured in there, Miss October Gallery, and a Q&A with Angelina. That's available at PrestonSteve.com. Let's get to the B-File story, shall we?
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by the Bates Motel. The Bates Motel in Glen Mills is the number one rated haunted attraction in America. It is designed to scare you, and it will. What?
And it will.
Oh, and it will, period. here's how it was going to sound. And it will get discount coupons at participating Dunkin' Donuts locations.
I thought you were going to say rip your ass out or
and
whatever.
The Bates Motel is going to
destroy
the BatesMotel.com. Destroy your ass. You'll have your ass destroyed. Next year, that's their slogan.
Yeah. That's got to be the slogan.
The caretaker of a Pakistani house of worship unleashed his pet lion on an electrician who was trying to collect late payment.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. Police said the electrician visited the house of worship multiple times because his wages were overdue and eventually got into a heated debate with the caretaker, who then used his pet lion to attack the man.
I'm going to go get my freaking lion.
Authorities said the victim did not initially file a police report because the caretaker promised to get him treatment and pay him compensation.
Listen, sorry about the whole lion thing.
A month passed and the caretaker received neither, so he decided to file a police report.
So was it an attack lion, or did the lion simply... The lion did act aggressively towards the guy?
He's a pet lion, and it just
launch into the room and start tearing at him?
I guess he was able to cause him to, or to, you know,
yeah,
command him to attack this guy. But
Simba, kill.
The details are sketchy on this because they didn't say how badly he was injured or what happened. The caretaker has since been arrested. Police did not say whether the man had a license to own a pet lion, or if the lion was still being cared for by the individual, or if it had been moved to a zoo. So we don't know much. A woman was killed as she was leaning out of a train window below an inadequate warning sign. Bethan Roper was hit in the head by a tree branch while on board a Great Western Railway service traveling at about 75 miles an hour. Trees along the route had not been inspected since 2009. Signs around the window were updated after her death. The investigation said Ms. Roper was returning to South Wales from Bath. She was with friends, and the investigating body said that it believed at least one other friend leaned out of the window before Ms. Roper did. Witnesses told investigators she had her head out of the window for a few seconds before falling back into the vestibule.
They said Mr. Roper, Jack, and Chrissy were inconsolable.
Despite the efforts of the other passengers, including some with medical training, she was pronounced dead at the station.
Hear stories like that. Sometimes you hear trains going in the opposing direction will behead people.
The doors of the London Paddington to Exeter service were fitted with an opening window to enable passengers to open the door at stations. And a warning sign above the drop light window met industry guidance but did not adequately convey the level of risk. Huh. Investigators claimed the use of the word caution suggested that leaning out the window could be done safely if care was taken. So that's terrible. A Minnesota Department of Corrections sergeant is accused of exchanging McDonald's food for some oral while he was driving a female inmate to jail last month.
So I'll give you a burger if you give me a Hummer.
Yeah, so Randy Allen Beeler was charged with third-degree criminal sexual conduct. He was taking the woman from one county jail to another.
Hey, can I have one of them French fries?
During the
All right.
Please no.
Yeah, they look awful good. I'm a big fan of the French fries.
During the transfer, Beeler...
Well, you know it wasn't Halle Berry sitting in the backseat.
Beeler told the woman that he was going to stop for food. She indicated that she would, quote, do anything for some food. And Beeler asked if
I'm loving it.
If that included coming up to the front seat and fooling around.
Fooling around.
Yeah, he made his first court appearance on Thursday. He's got another one coming up, so...
Well, aren't you a coy one?
Mm-hmm. A 23-year-old... Louisville, Kentucky man is behind bars after police say he shot and killed his father with a crossbow and struck his sister in the head with a frying pan.
Yo. Oh, my God.
Whoa. And I don't have much on this. The manhunt for Gerald Beavers III began just after 1 p.m. when the police responded to a call from a home and found one man dead and the injured woman. Beavers was apprehended around 5 p.m. and they don't know the motive for the attack, but a crossbow and a frying pan were his weapons of choice. They have not yet said what charges may be brought against the young beavers. That's what it says there. The young beaver.
Nice beaver.
No, not a nice beaver.
All right, how about this guy? The ink didn't lie. Police arrested a 36-year-old Illinois man for giving officers a fake name despite the fact that he had his real name tattooed on his neck.
Wow. You got to remember you have those tattoos before you give a fake ID.
Yes. Matthew C. Bushman had a warrant out for his arrest when officers booked him on October 11th for obstructing justice. A police mugshot shows the Matty B tattoo across his throat. Police said that they were investigating a forgery when Bushman gave him the false name and date of birth in an attempt to dodge a warrant out for him, and he was booked into the county jail.
I've been seeing a lot more full throat, I guess the equivalent of what a sleeve is to the arm, full throat tattoos. And to me, it can't help but look like a turtleneck.
Yeah. Agreed.
Looks like a permanent turtleneck.
Yep, I agree. And I've never really liked the way turtlenecks look.
Yeah.
All right, one last story. I saved the best for last. Rats are up for adoption after authorities removed them from a van where they lived with their owner. This is wild. It started with just two pet rats, and it exploded to more than 300. And they all lived in a van with this woman.
Wow.
300 of them.
I really like McDonald's.
And it was parked near one of San Diego's toniest communities. The rodents clawed their way into upholstery, gnawed through the engine wiring. They hid in door panels, burrowed into the seats. One video shows several clustered on the dashboard.
Look, I think we got something here. Why don't we take this back to my van?
And they often skittered around outside of the van, parked near a convenience store. The rats in the van prompted concern, complaints, and finally calls to the San Diego Humane Society. Officials there were able to scoop up scores of rats from the vehicle, and now several of those rescued rodents are available for adoption. So they were clean and everything. They weren't, you know.
They were like lab rats.
They were like pet rats, and so they weren't wild or anything like that. And apparently she took pretty good care of them.
Okay, so she fed them and walked them?
Exactly. So
took them to rat shows?
It started when officers went to the van and spoke to the woman living inside. According to the officer, he said at first sight, the officer realized that right away the situation was significant. They could tell immediately.
Was there a smell?
It was a huge amount of rats. They were living out of the van, coming and going. The woman told Humane Society officer she was sorry that her pets had gotten out of control. She wanted help. She agreed to turn them over. He said the officer said she was feeding all of them and had water for all of them, and it didn't meet the standards of hoarding.
300 rats in a van doesn't constitute hoarding?
Because she was taken care of. Rats have lost lots and lots of babies. A healthy litter consists of about 10 to 12 rats. They multiply fast. Gestation usually runs for 4 weeks.
Oh, my God.
So it didn't take long for two rats to become hundreds. Officials spent a couple of days plucking as many rats as they could from the vehicle.
Tell you what, there's a lot of love in my rat van.
Tearing out the entire inside, finding rodents in every single crevice. They collected 320 of them.
I'm going to need another van.
And a GoFundMe page has been set up to help the woman living in the vehicle. As of Thursday, more than $4,700 have been raised for her. So, yeah.
Well, her heart was in the right place.
I guess.
You know, of course, she's completely deranged. Yeah.
Rat Van could be a band name.
Rat Van.
We are Rat Van! I want to thank Saint for opening up for us.
I knew it. Saint's opening for Rat Van?
How did the show go this we'll talk about it later, right?
Yeah,
it's going
to
be a break. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. We had a really good time, so thanks to the Broken Goblin.
Well, Rat Van brings, I mean, a lot of big crowd. Well,
look, we were just a support Rat Van.
Yeah.
But I think we were happy that they gave us that opportunity.
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we will have a Not Your Average listener in the studio. You will hear their story. We will ask questions. We'll hear about it all together, and then we put it up to you to decide whether or not this person will receive a cash prize that we have. So that is on the way when we return. Make sure you stay with us, please.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're about to meet a Not Your Average listener. For those who may not be familiar with our program and this particular feature that we do from time to time, it's just finding out about the listening audience of the Preston and Steve Show. People who have listened to us for a number of years who have something interesting about their lives, and that can be a profession. It could be a possession that they have of some sort. It could be an interesting thing that's happened in their life that just, for some reason or other, stands out.
Or a language they created.
We had got these guys that created their own language.
Whatever.
I actually liked that one.
It was great.
Yeah, me too.
But we've had all sorts of people here in the studio to tell their story, and then we turn it on you to determine whether you think this person is worthy of a prize. And it's mainly the, you know, the title, Not Your Average Listener. But we have a $250 cash prize presented by our friends at Sunoco Fuel Your Best. So before we welcome our Not Your Average Listener, we have to play our official theme song.
Preston and Steve on the radio. I think this might be my shot. 250 cold hard cash sure would help a lot. Not your average listener. Sponsored by Sunoco. They're not your average gas station. I want to win this promotion. They know how to fuel peak performance. I simply just want to win. They've been doing it for America and raising for 50 years. I want to show the people that people are not like me. Text the word yes to 39333.
Just absolutely beautiful. I think that each one has gotten better than the last.
Well, lyrically, this is what you would call a perfect song.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
All right, our next guest is an author. And listen, you may be saying, okay, a book. That guy's written a book, right? Well, this book is being turned into a film, which is going to be premiering November 1st across the country. And it's got a straight-up local tie to it. So
it sure does, yeah.
First, let's welcome him, and then we'll find out about the book. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tommy Martino.
Yay!
Hey, Tommy, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in this morning. How you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Excellent.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, good to be. It's good to have you here, I should say. You've been listening to MMR for a long time?
All the time.
Nice. And you grew up in the area, right?
I grew up in Delaware County.
All right. The name of the book is Inside Game, correct?
Yes, correct.
For those who may not know the title of the book, they probably know the story. Can you remind us what that story is in a nutshell?
Sure. So it was the scandal that rocked the NBA where the NBA referee was betting on games with which he officiated.
This was huge. I remember this was, so he's officiating games and betting on them. And as you can imagine, that represents a conflict of interest.
Correct.
Yeah. So how did you come by this, the story and writing the story? Your first time author with this?
So, yes. Yeah. So basically, I had to go to jail for a little while, of course. And when I got out of jail, my cousin, who's a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley, approached me, and he asked me if he could buy my life rights.
Yeah.
So I said, sure, Paul. His name's Paulie Martino. So he bought my life rights, and just in case somebody came through for a movie, he was going to shelf them in case something came along. And then he was in Silicon Valley one day. By chance, he was sitting at a bar. And there was a man who he was sitting next to him named Michael Pierce, who was a producer. Paulie didn't know it at the time, but they got to talking. And somehow the NBA scandal came up. And Paulie said, well, I have a script. And Michael Pierce said, what's a guy from Silicon Valley, venture capitalist, doing with a movie script?
Right, right.
So he gave the script to Michael Pierce. Michael Pierce read it overnight, called him the next day and said, hey, this is excellent. Let's talk. And that's how the movie was born.
Okay. Huh. But how about the book? So you wrote the book?
Okay, yeah. So I wrote the book. So I went down to Tampa to get the NBA referee on board with the movie because, of course, you need the NBA ref.
Right.
And we went down to sign him. We had to meet with a PR guy, my cousin and I, Chip Namus. He's done a lot of popular movies associated with sports. I think a couple of them were Hoosiers and Moneyball with Brad Pitt.
So he has a pedigree with this
really
stuff.
Really good movies.
Those are heavy hitter movies.
Yeah. So we're sitting across from him at lunchtime, and he's talking about the NBA referee and how we need some kind of promotions with the movie. And he said, let's relaunch Donaghy's book, Tim Donaghy being the referee. So I'm sitting across from like the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, wow, maybe I should finish my book, which I started 7 years prior.
Huh.
So that gave me the incentive to finish my book. So I called Donaghy afterwards and I said, Tim, they're going to relaunch your book. He said, Tom, you're stupid if you don't finish yours.
So Donaghy had written a book. So you're writing the book and you have your own book.
Yep.
And he tells you should finish your book.
Exactly.
Why would he do that?
He's looking out for my best interest.
Well, that's cool, yeah. Cool.
And I'm looking out for his best
interest. Yeah,
so we have each other's backs.
Were you guys friends? What's your connection to Tim Donaghy? Okay, so I didn't understand that connection in the first place. So you knew Tim, who was the referee, who was and he's local as well.
He's local as well. He's from Havertown.
Okay, and how long had you guys known each other?
So since, I guess, he was in eighth grade, and I graduated in 1984 from Cardinal O'Hara.
Okay.
So I would say 4 years prior to that, 1980, so... What's that, like 30 years almost?
Okay. So, and you were in jail for this?
Right, I was in jail for this.
For betting and being a recipient of information that he was providing you?
Right.
And how long did you serve?
I served a year and a day.
Okay. And how long was he in for?
15 months.
15 months, okay. Because I remember it was all over the place when this broke. And it made them really review policy and procedure in the NBA. I don't know if it's stuck.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's not, you know, happening again. But, wow.
So how did Donaghy bring you into it?
Okay, so it was actually the professional gambler that brought me into it.
Okay.
So James Baba Batista, he's a local guy, too. I grew up with
and
him.
And he's going to be played by Will Sasso in the movie, correctly?
Will Sasso's playing him. Yeah, Will Sasso does a fantastic job.
Okay.
And Batista approached me one day when we got out of jail. No, before when I talk about before we went into jail, and he said, "Tommy, can I use your house to perform my job, which is professional gambling?" He had 5 cell phones on him, a laptop. I said, "Sure." He said, "I'll give you $100 a day to do it." I was recently divorced. I was kind of lonely.
Yeah.
So he's running a bookie operation basically out of your house. He's probably taking much more money than $100 a day, right?
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
And he did give me actually more than $100 a day. He didn't want his family to be present if his house got raided.
Right. He wanted your house to get raided.
Yeah, right. He wanted you to be present.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Red flag.
Right.
But you knew all along what was going on. Like, you agreed to this, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't know what was going on in behind the scenes. So behind the scenes, he was in debt a lot of money to people you don't want to be in debt to.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was coming looking for me because he knew I was Donaghy's buddy. So a way to get his money back that he had lost was to get me to get Donaghy on board with him. And there was whispers before Batista came to me that Donaghy was giving games to a local business insurance salesman named Jack and Cannon.
And when you say giving games, he would exert influence in the game to affect the outcome by his calls.
I don't think by his calls. Like, if you ask Donaghy, it's by his knowledge of the game and his inner circle of being in the dressing room, seeing the injuries, knowing the other referees who had, you know, beefs.
Well, let me ask you, Tommy. But that to me is just knowledge people could come by hearsay. You know what I'm saying? Or in other words, so what? Because he is a referee charged with making sure everything's on the up and up, and he's betting on the games the same way that Pete Rose got into trouble. You know, he said he never bet on a game he was playing in or whatever. But I mean, whatever the case is, that's the deal. But everything peripherally would that be illegal necessarily? That you just somebody knows that information?
I'll give you an example.
Yeah,
Steve.
Yeah.
One game he gave me during the scandal, I passed along to the professional gambler. Right when I passed it along to him, hundreds of thousands of dollars gets bets on the game. Millions, actually.
Right.
Because it was actually going out to New York to the Gambinos, and they were betting it too, and they made a lot of money.
Okay, yeah.
Gambino, obviously, is a they're florists, is what they are.
Very good. Right.
Yeah. So heavy hitters.
Yeah, so Donaghy gives me the game, calls me back an hour later, and says, Tom, I just found out the whole Washington Bullets at the time, they're sitting everybody. The coach was upset at the team, so he sat everybody. He goes, switch the bet to the other side. So I called Batista to switch the bet to the other side. It's too late. No. So we took a beating on that game. But that was only one in about 40. He was 40-5.
This is crazy stuff. So you know, I understand on a basic level, but I know, and even when it was happening and they were talking about it, it was hard to follow it. So they're using your house. You're betting as well.
No, I never bet.
You never bet.
No. So it was just because they used your house. That's how you were involved.
Well, you know, I would help go with Batista to like New Jersey and move money around, like. Drop off $65,000.
Okay, were you laundering money? Were you?
No, I wasn't laundering money. I wasn't, but the
you were dry cleaning.
I was dry cleaning.
But still, you were associated with something that is basically laundering in a way, as is moving money around, right?
I'm sure somebody else was, but I had a hair. My brother had a hair salon, so they audited our hair salon. So they tried to get me. For money laundering. They were trying to get me for anything.
I see.
To give information to them. So, you know, they were pretty much torturing me and bringing my family up to New York. And, you know, every time we went up, it was like 10 grand. And then they were about to take my mom up, and she had like two types of cancer. And I said they had took my girlfriend up, my brother, me. They ordered at the hair salon. That was 17,000.
These are the feds?
These are the feds.
Okay.
All right, not to fast forward too much, but I do have a question, Tommy. When they got Donaghy, did anybody go back and check his entire history within it to see if there were flagrant calls?
Yeah, okay. They did.
And what did they find?
So the FBI went over everything, and they said that they couldn't really see anything that was suspicious.
Huh.
Yeah.
But the very fact that he was betting on the sport himself as a referee, which is obviously a massive conflict of interest.
Yeah.
The fact that information, he was disseminating information out to somebody with a nefarious gambling career.
Right.
That's what made it explode.
Exactly.
Okay. But the FBI, as you said, so they review everything, and they didn't see like something that just stood out like being completely ridiculous, a call that he made. For the most part, everything was on the up and up the way he was calling the game.
Right.
Okay.
Tim was a great referee, no doubt. So, like, he was one of the best.
That's the crazy Tommy, thing about, the referee. Sorry to jump in here. Is that, like, there are a lot of Delco guys that either are or were referees, and actually a lot of Arnold Hara guys.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like a dark stain on that,
I'm embarrassed by it.
When you started writing this book, when you were writing it, did it evolve from it being your story to being Tim's story?
No, it's my story. It's all my story.
Okay.
So Tim really didn't have any input on the story.
And who's playing Tim in the movie?
Eric Mabius does a great job.
And Scott Wolf is playing you?
Playing me.
Lucky you. You got Scott Wolf. Look at that.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
What do I know Scott Wolf from?
Party of Five.
Party of Five.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nancy Drew now.
Yeah. He plays Nancy Drew.
Man, that guy's good.
He's good. No, but he's a good-looking guy.
He is cool. Okay, so say, you know, you feel embarrassed by this, and I understand that. But so I was always curious about a film that portrays a real-life person that is not a positive, sunshiny story. It's going to be made into a movie. Now, I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, it's showing some pretty bad behavior here.
Yeah, so I'm embarrassed by it. You know, it was a mistake I made. You know, I never want to make that kind of mistake again. But it did happen, and there's a lot of feelings involved. So, but you also want to tell the truth.
How does your family feel about it?
So, you know, my dad tries not to read the newspapers and
to dwell on it.
Yeah, because he doesn't want, you know, his son to be shown in that kind of light, you know. But
They do make, 'cause as you're reading the reviews and reading up on the whole thing, is it also shows you paid your dues. It's a story of redemption. A number of critics have said no one's giving you a pass on what you did, and you know you did something that was wrong. Right. But you come out the other end, and how have you sort of endeavored to make, you know, restitution or do things right, you know, in your life? What have you actively sought to right the wrong or? Yeah.
So a lot of, what we're doing is one major thing that we're doing is proceeds from the book. Some of the proceeds go to Elwin Institute. Mm-hmm. And when the movie comes out and money starts coming in, God willing.
Yeah.
We're going to donate money to Elwin Institute, to a friend of mine who's been there. He lives there and works there, named Joey Ferrigno. So that's one of the things we're trying to give back.
What's Elwin Institute for those?
So Elwin Institute is for disabled children and adults, children with, what's that?
Like Down syndrome.
Developmental disabilities.
Yeah, it's just right down the street from where Y100 used to be.
Yeah.
It's really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is wild. This is wild. Have you seen the movie?
I've seen the movie about 10 times.
Okay, the completed thing. So and so it's November 1st it opens.
November 1st it opens in 30 major basketball cities across America.
Okay.
Including Chicago, Philly, of course, D.C.
And the word right now, it's getting some really solid feedback on it.
Like, I like it. I think it's a great movie.
Do you like the way you were portrayed for the most part?
Well, it is what it was.
Yeah.
Huh.
So yeah.
I don't like it, but...
Is it painful to watch? I mean, so what point did you feel you? I mean, when you bring up names like Gambino family and stuff like that, there had to be a number of points where you thought, I'm going to get killed.
Sure.
So when was it the most desperate for you? When did you think? Because it's not only you. The focus now is on your family as well.
Right. And that's exactly right. I think I was on the beach in South Beach, Miami. Well, I know I was.
Yeah.
And I got that unavailable call.
Yeah.
That's either the feds or the feds.
Yeah.
So they said they're on my front porch. So that's the first time I didn't eat dinner for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, I was scared. Lunch and breakfast is okay.
For
but,
sure.
No, but but for the most part, so did you ever feel like you were minutes away? I mean, how desperate did it get? Was it all okay? I mean, even though it's terrifying and heart-wrenching and your stomach's turning and all that stuff, but did you ever at one point think, I'm not going to live out the day?
Well, sometimes you think about ending it yourself. You know, that's how...
It got that bad.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know Timmy told me that he felt the same way. Donaghy, the referee. Yeah. But good thing I had a good support system and my dad. But if it wasn't for my dad, I would be living on crates in South Philly somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
How's life now? What do you do?
Fantastic. So I'm a barber. In my brother's hair salon, Nirvana Hair Gallery on Saks Rav in Springfield.
Yeah, I was actually, I know you guys very well.
Oh, you
guys donated to, you guys donate to charities all the time.
There you go. Yeah. Look at you turning your life around.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best, man.
Yeah,
I have a 3-year-old son now and a beautiful wife and a great family. And I don't want my son to repeat the mistakes of his father.
It had to be to have your mother, who you said was suffering from cancer.
Yep, she beat it. She beat it twice.
All right, well, that's good news.
So here's the thing. The headlines are the headlines, and people are going to read the stories, and then that's going to be their only picture of you as a person.
Right.
But the crazy thing is because I'm a Delco guy, I went to O'Hara myself, I have gotten so many text messages from people that you knew growing up, that people that were your neighbors, people that were your book signing last night, and... The same thing keeps coming back over and over again. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And so, you can't be, like the sum of you can't be like one mistake that you made in your life, even though the mistake was made over, it was a series of weeks or months or whatever. It can't be the only thing that you are.
If you can never be forgiven, what is the whole process about? What is redemption? How do you ever course correct in life? If one, obviously, this was a profound thing, but still, we have to hold. We have to allow the possibility of someone to write the course and get on the straight and narrow. And it appears you have.
Yes, I have. One bad decision can shape your destiny.
Yeah.
So, Tommy, you were in jail for a year. Where did you serve?
MDC Brooklyn for 6 months, and then they shipped me off. After a month in the hole, they shipped me off to Fort Devens in Boston.
Okay.
Why were you in the hole?
Ooh, it's a long story.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know if you guys have time. But,
yeah, go ahead.
So, pretty much I got thrown in the hole because I had told my bunkie that if it wasn't for this guy, the professional gambler, I wouldn't even be in here, which is a mistake. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I was pissed.
Does that invite some sort of retribution from the other prisoners? How do they read you're telling them that?
So my co-defendant, Jimmy Batista, was in the unit next to me.
Yeah.
So when I told my bunkie, he ran over and told Batista, who was in a unit with all the wise guys.
Uh-huh.
So right away, he defended himself, which he should have. I shouldn't open my mouth.
Mm.
And he said, Martino's a snitch.
So they made you out to be a rat.
You got it.
And so when you then you become marked.
You got it.
And then they need to put you into protection, so they put you in isolation.
I made a call to my attorney. I was desperate. I
right.
said, give me my judgment and committal papers, because that shows on there whether you were a cooperating, whether you cooperated with the government or not.
Right.
Unfortunately, my papers never came in time. They came like 6 months later when I was in Boston, which, you know, it could be attributed to the judicial system.
Yeah.
That stinks. And so I, the warden was listening over the phone. They listened to your calls and open your mail. So I called my attorney. I said, give me my judgment and acquittal papers. They're calling me a snitch up here. Next day, they locked down the whole unit. All the doors shut. I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? Here they come, right from my cell. Step away from the door, handcuffed me, and brought me into the hole for 30 days.
Wow! So when you're in the hole for 30 days, you're in isolation. Yeah. You don't get time out to exercise or anything, right? You're in. What was that like? And was that one of the points at which you thought I need to off myself?
I thought that I was going to die in there on my own.
Right?
You know, like you're in there. It's like a torture.
Right.
One guy died while I was in there. Like, they passed this guy past my door on a gurney.
Yeah.
And after he passed away, he was dead for like 8 hours. They got a slap on the wrist. And then every hour, the CO would come by in the hole, shine a flashlight in and make sure you moved. And he would say, make a move. So that they knew you were alive. Mm.
So you'll forgive me for saying this. You're a smaller guy, and
yeah.
No. So, but I mean, in 6'1".
Did you just say 6'4"?
when I'm standing on my wallet.
But in prison and everything, I mean, I don't know what you're looking at there, but you've got to, you know.
Yeah.
That's heavy duty.
Which, by the way. If Joe Pesci was like 35 years younger, he should have played you.
Totally.
Yeah, I totally get that from
Thanks,
you.
But you got Scott Wolf. That's pretty cool.
He's the man. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's great. When I met him, we were talking for like 15 minutes, he started to mimic me.
Really?
With the accent.
Right in front of you?
I guess we got an accent, right?
Yeah. Did he get the Delco pronunciations correct in this?
Yeah, he did.
All right.
Yeah, did a great job. He really did kill it.
So how many people from Delco and from your, you know, have come to your... Now, obviously, if people who don't like you don't like it, it's hard to change that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I the same way someone who goes to AA, you know, tries to make right and restitution with people, you know, have people come around or you know, it seems like Casey's saying a lot of people just stick up for you as a good guy and say, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
But are there still people who still have issues with you that you encounter or for the most part are people willing to give you a second chance?
I think my ex-wife probably
has that would, yeah.
put me, but no, everybody is pretty much receptive.
Yeah.
You know, they're cool. And I did the right thing growing up. And
yeah.
Have you ever been asked to go and speak to people about turning your life around, about what, you know, being aware that mistakes can lead you down the wrong path?
So that's the message I have for everybody. We were at Villanova University last week and Lehigh the night before. And, yeah, you know, I have a message, you know, about bad decisions and how they shape your life. And, you know, you got to do what's best for you and your family, not for what's best for someone else when it comes to decision making.
Right.
So, yeah, like my cousin told me we're going to do like a tour of like all 50 states and go to colleges and do like motivational speaking.
Okay.
Colleges.
Do you like that? Do you have a good experience when you do that?
I do. I'm not that bad at it.
Yeah. You'll get there. Yeah.
I'm a little nervous here.
Yeah.
I got to ask Casey, being a grad of O'Hara, how do you feel about all this?
Nobody was like a big fan of it. I didn't know about you. Tim Donaghy was the big name. Right.
I remember you bringing him up.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, but listen, you can't help but be embarrassed.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
It gave the Bonner guys and, you know, one more thing to make fun of us, St. James guys, like all those guys. You don't want any of those people to have any fuel,
right?
You know, when it just comes to, like, ball busting and stuff like that. But also, you know, when somebody like Tim or anybody has made a name for themselves, like, I mean, that's a big deal, being a referee in you know, major league sports. You know, it sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, hopefully the movie's going to do well and they'll shed some light on this. And you're sharing your story and you're hopefully trying to make things right.
Yes.
You know, so, all right.
Well, listen, I think we're going to put it to the audience.
Yeah.
We'll see what they think. And is Tommy a not your average listener or not? That is the question. So he's written the book Inside Game. It's a movie. Which is opening on November 1st.
And if you win the money, you're not going to put it on a game, right?
Okay. Oh, God.
I just want to make sure. All right.
It's $250 cash prize. Let's see what you have to say. Text the word yes or no to 39333. Yes, meaning that, yep, Tommy deserves it, or no, he does not. And we leave it up to you. So go ahead and do that now. Text yes or no to 39333. And with that, we'll take a break, and then we'll come out and we'll find out what they think, all right?
Cool.
All right, excellent. Tommy Martino here this morning. Not your average listener. We'll be back in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR proudly supports the inaugural Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa, Sunday, October 27th. The event benefits the Philadelphia Police Foundation with a run through historic Old City to 30th Street Station and back for a post-run festival at Penn's Landing featuring food and beverages courtesy of Wawa, awards for top finishers in multiple age groups, and fun for the whole family. Click events at WMMR.com for all the details and to get signed up. Sunday, October 27th. It's the Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa. 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
So we have Tommy Martino, who is in the studio, our Not Your Average Listener. Before we reveal the results, we only do this like once a month, so we have to get some mileage out of the theme song.
Yeah.
And, of course, it mentions our wonderful sponsor, Sunoco, Fuel Your Best. So we're going to play the theme song one more time, then we'll reveal the results of the poll.
Preston and Steve on the radio, I think this might be my shot. 250 cold hard cash sure would help a lot. Not your average listener. Sponsored by Sunoco. They're not your average gas station. I want to win this promotion. They know how to fuel peak performance. I simply just want to win. They've been doing it for America and raising for 50 years. I want to show the people that people are not like me. Text the word yes to 39333.
Well, I think, you know, the way it flows.
Yeah.
I think well, is
I like
the magic.
It to Heart of the Matter, the,
the
lyrical perfection.
It's beautiful.
There's no wasted words.
Melodically, exactly. So, wonderful job, Casey boy. All right, so Tommy Martino here in our studio, Not Your Average Listener, promoting a new book called Inside Game. There is a film named Inside Game, and it's Tommy's story and a few other locals as well. Tim Donaghy about the NBA scandal that took place a while back. Will Sasso stars in it, and Scott Wolf is playing Tommy in this film. And we took your votes, and I now have the results. I must say, this is one of our more split decisions that we've had in a while, because a lot of times it weighs heavily on yes.
Yeah.
A little less so, as you can imagine, because there's some negativity involved with this. But we have a 75-25 vote.
That's still good.
75-25 vote.
Unless it's bad.
For yes.
Oh!
So that means, Tommy, they're siding with you that you are indeed a Not Your Average Listener of the Preston and Steve Show. So we have a $250 prize for you. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That on top of the success of your book and the movie and everything. And but thanks for sharing your story. And thanks, you know, good on you for turning your life around and getting it together.
I'm looking forward to reading the book and seeing the book, because obviously it has local ties. Yeah, I mean, okay. So you can't help it. It's a compelling story. Anything like this,
for sure.
Yeah, and good. Yeah, and good luck to you with everything you got going on.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah,
thank you, Preston. All right, thank you guys.
You bet,
thanks,
man. Steve. All right, Tommy's got to go. He's got to go get his son. Yes. Thank you, Tommy. Hey, take care, brother. It was nice to meet you. All right, so yet another Not Your Average Listener. And thanks again to Sunoco for
they're awesome,
for being our sponsor. And getting people on board and the cash prize awarded.
May I tell you, Preston, that not only Do they have wonderful gas? But their fat-free French vanilla is very good too.
Oh, they have good fat-free vanilla. I did not know that.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I have to try that.
So we all of us had busy weekends this weekend. There's a lot of stuff that that occurred over the weekend. So I think a little recap would be worth it.
I think it's necessary.
Yeah. Just the recapper?
Eat up time.
What's that?
The recapper?
The recapper.
You knew?
Oh, dear God, no.
No?
No?
It's all of us. Okay. All of us recapping. No, but I do want to start by mentioning a ceremony of sorts that Steve and I went to.
We were castrated.
No, we weren't.
It was, oh my God! Yeah.
I use ceremony because it had to do with the Freemasons.
Yes,
and more specifically, Columbia Lodge 91. Over the weekend, we received an award, and we were invited to the Masonic Temple of Philadelphia to receive this award.
And it was on behalf of the show.
Yeah, it was for the entire show.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, man, I had been familiar with the building and how wonderful it is supposed to be, but had never been there in person before, and neither had you, Steve.
No, I've driven around it countless times because it's right, you know, in that area right by City Hall.
Yeah, and it was... Have you guys ever been in that building?
Yeah.
No.
It's amazing.
So it's, you know, sprawling old style architecture, obviously outside all built of, you know, stone blocks and stuff. But so where the meetings take place, and by the way, you know, they're obviously committed to philanthropic activities. And that's, I mean, when you your list of luminaries includes George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Voltaire,
yeah,
Lafayette, yeah.
And scores of presidents.
Right,
and,
right. Yeah. There's a lot there, but it is as resplendent as you would imagine it would be in these rooms where these various meetings take place to discuss the benevolent acts they're going to be doing in the charities.
Yeah,
they're huge. Many of them, they're sort of designed, Nick. You know, the first room I walked into reminded me of Parliament without the center. Console there. It's very impressive.
By the way, I need somebody to run into the office right by my desk. Casey, would you mind? Because Marissa stepped out.
Yes.
There are two bags there. There's some gifts that they give. So wait, there she goes. There she goes. No, she's gone. There's two bags there. And I got to thank the Mikes.
Mike, yes.
Mike McKee, who is, and I didn't write down anybody's titles or anything like that. Mike McKee was the guy who gave us the tour.
Right.
And then the other Mike.
Viceroy.
Who is it's Polish name, and I didn't write it down. He said he's the only Polish one there, but he's a grandmaster. He's the grandmaster for Lodge 91, the Columbia Lodge 91. But he was the one that presented and said that we should be up for this award.
Yeah, he's a longtime listener.
Yeah, and they just do this once a year where they find a group and or person and highlight them, and they present this award.
He said actually a lot of people press and listen who are the Freemasons.
A lot of the Brotherhood.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, these guys, all they want to do, and the lore behind the Freemasons and the mystery and all that stuff, they get the joke. It's kind of a joke to them that there's all this mysteriousness embedded in this brotherhood, because they kept saying, oh yeah, we're gonna have to kill you now because we showed you the private room here, and now we're gonna have to kill you afterwards. So they kind of find it funny.
You know? But the truth is to get to the, like, for example, the Shriners, you have to be a Freemason before you can become a Shriner. So Shriners
Hospital, I didn't know that,
is directly connected to the Masonic Temple.
Mike Liskowski.
There you go.
Oh, from Monsters Incorporated.
No, that's Wiskowski. Oh, that's okay. Wachowski. But anyhow.
He did have a huge eye.
Mike was great. And these guys, they work so hard on fundraising and philanthropy interest. And it was really cool.
It was cool just to learn. And this thing's been around forever. So what they have there, by the way, in documentation, they were showing us original text and documents, you know, signed by P.T. Barnum. And
Because Tom Thumb was a Mason.
Yep.
And it was about him appearing or something along the lines. And they had this really old book that they showed us. And some of these things are all in climate-controlled, protected environments.
So over the course of years, too, Preston, where they've had these fires periodically within the building, you know, it's been around that long. So I think it was 1874 when it was completed. What they did is they replicated a lot of the woodwork in the building is actually plaster made to look like wood.
Oh, no kidding!
So it won't burn, you know. And,
but,
and,
I've got to tell you, the ornate nature of some of these rooms is just incredible. You walk into these grand hallways that have, you know, black and white marble floors with these sweeping staircases. And then you walk into another, like the meeting, one of the main rooms. I think it might have been the Corinthian room, this meeting room, which is all, you know, adorned with red carpet and the, you know, brilliant burgundies and reds, all this gigantic room. 25-foot ceilings,
oh,
maybe,
they were flying drones around in these rooms just to get pictures. And, I mean, they go about this. Yeah, well, so, and there's one, there's a room that is Egyptian in its decor, which...
Yeah, the Egypt room. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, which is amazing.
And, like, thrones and all this symbolism all over the place.
That sounds cool.
And, like, the Egypt room in particular, Steve, I thought it was almost like being in Universal or Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
And only you can't, you know, it's in displays that are away from you and you can't touch or get anywhere near, but you can get up close and personal and stuff. But they have several of these huge ornate meeting rooms like this, and it's just just a marvel, and it's pristinely clean.
They keep it immaculate. Where you walk through, and for example, there are two doors that lead into this long hall with some really incredibly comfortable furniture that's been there for forever.
Yeah.
But the doors, each of the doors weighs a ton.
Yeah.
So, it's stuff like that.
That was the Ben Franklin room.
Yeah.
And they had like an 18-foot tall statue of Ben that's in the main room that you can, if you want to have, say, a wedding ceremony or wedding reception or something like that. They have these beautiful rooms that you can rent for stuff like that. And
that's
that,
crazy.
That particular one.
I mean, I've never even thought to go in. You know,
they have tours, actually. There are tours that go all the time. So you can have them. In fact, they're proud of their the tours that they lead and the information that they impart. But they press yes, they do have secret hallways.
We went through a secret passage.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah. So there's an area that looks like just a wall, and you kind of push it in, and then it slides up.
Yeah.
And then even then inside that there was a
and that's when the whores come out.
No, there was this ornate lamp that was in there, Kathy. And you might just stop right there, but there was another hidden panel off to the right, and when you go into that, it takes you back into in between the walls.
And that's when the whores come.
That's when they brought out all the whores. And man, did we have a good night.
What they had in their press, though, was from the point of where it was built, you know, in the 1850s or 60s, however long it took to build it, the sort of temporary stair or ladders.
Yeah. If you've ever been into a home that's under construction, or they're building a new home before they put stairs in, they'll just take 2x4s and make makeshift ladders.
Yeah.
And they have those, but they're
from
the 1800s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That are still there from when they were constructed. And it's
pretty cool.
It was very cool.
Steve was telling me that you guys were taking on a tour, and I was like, ugh, that sounds like so not fun. Because I'm not like a go on a tour kind of guy.
This wasn't.
But it sounds super fascinating.
It wasn't the type of tour, and in this room in 1823.
That and over here is where we put the coat racks, and over.
No, Steve, the moment he said, you go, what's up on the third floor? He goes, that's where the Knights Templar meet. And we're like, well, we have to go up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And and that was all roped off and stuff. I didn't think we were going to get to go up there. And he took us up to the Knights Templar room.
That's cool.
It was really, really cool.
So this is the, I think it goes back and forth between Boston, but the belief is that this is the oldest in the country, this temple. And but it was, they have pictures apparently and documents. But when City Hall was just starting to be built, they were sitting right there. And it is pretty amazing. In fact, the location was picked because they wanted it outside of the city, what they thought was outside of in the suburbs. And you know, or at least so that they could have a little bit more room to grow. And now you see where they're dead center, you know, and everything. So.
Yeah. And it's funny. I still think about, you know, the theories or the conspiracies that are thought of this group. These guys are just kind of fun, kind of geeky, cool, you know, just want to hang out with each other, guys that want to do a good thing and help other people out. That's kind of what I got from it.
The mission statement is to make better people, to make better, more generous, committed people to the welfare of others. So, you know, and in the brotherhood, so to speak, if somebody at one of the chapters, they were talking about a story of one of the guys in Pittsburgh, his mother was in an accident, a car accident or whatever, had some sort of thing, and they alerted the brothers in that area to go and to take, you know, make sure they had groceries and all that stuff. So it seems to be predicated on that. It's very cool.
And also that one of the things I found out is like at meetings and so forth, one of the things they try to... it's open to all faiths. Yes. There is no real faith there. Mm-hmm. And as far as, you know, that has to do with the organization and politics is it's off the table.
Yep.
You don't talk about it. Totally. And I was like, no kidding.
Yeah, you just talk about
it. If you start heading down that path, you're told to, look, we don't do that here. Mm-hmm. And then if you
continue. Shut your mouth.
And then if you continue to do that, you can be kicked out.
And you can't campaign to be in
a grandmaster.
Right. That will stop you from becoming one.
Wow.
You're selected because of your altruistic activity.
Yeah, that's reason enough to join, just the lack of politics.
Yeah, yeah.
So they gave us this award.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that
cool
nice? Yeah.
Preston and Steve, would you please place your penises on this table?
And they also gave us...
Ow! Thank you, sir, may I have another?
You only get one.
And they also gave us some other gifts for each of you guys.
Yes.
They have these really cool tumblers that each one of you get, which is pretty cool.
Oh, the Knights Tumblar.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
And some other tchotchkes. So yes. I'll make sure we hand that up. But they were super nice. The food was great. The people were really, really friendly. And we enjoyed it. And listen, if you haven't gone in that building, and if you think you've seen every notable historical site in Philadelphia, and you haven't done this, you got to go do this.
Yeah, it's right there.
They give tours. And a lot of interesting facts about it, too. One of the things I didn't know that I thought was kind of cool is, like, the different sides of the building are made differently, indicating on your relationship to the Brotherhood. So the back of it is kind of rough and rustic.
Yeah.
And if you're kind of new to the organization, you come in that way because you're not honed yet. You're not there. And then one side of it is slightly finished a little bit more. And after you've been in for a certain amount of time, you come through that way. Mm-hmm. And eventually it gets around to the very front, which is pristine and beautiful and perfect. And like that's where the Grand Masters enter through.
Wow. Right. We actually crawled into the sewers.
Yeah, because, we did.
Right.
We did. But nice people and a cool award, and we appreciate it. And we'll take some pictures and make sure we post that online.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things from this weekend.
Yes, a whole bunch going on.
Yeah, who else did what?
Kathy, I was with you on Sunday morning. Yesterday morning, we did the Laurel House 5K.
Yes.
Which was awesome. You ran it. I scooted it.
I was surprised. And you did the whole, they had a one, you could have just done the 1 mile, scooter boy.
Well, I wanted to test my legs, so to speak. So I walked / hobbled some of it, but my son came with me and he ran a decent amount of it. But Preston, you ran the whole thing, right?
I did, yeah.
Which was impressive. But
I did a nice easy jog. I wasn't going for time, but I did not stop to walk at all.
Can knock off a 5K. People don't, especially if you do it at a nice jogging clip, it's not that bad.
Yeah, and it ended up being a nice morning while we were there, and then the weather shifted for the rest of the day. But I posted a picture up on Instagram of the three of us, and I just love that organization. They do such great work, and I don't know if you're allowed to reveal the news about what's coming up next year, but it's pretty cool.
Well, they're opening up the new location. Is that what you mean? Yeah, they're going to move, and they're going to be in that Upper Gwinnett area,
which is awesome.
They always keep the location secret. Which they should, because these are women who are trying to get out of a bad situation, and you shouldn't know where that is, but it's going to be in that zone. That's what I was told. So good on them, and these fundraising efforts are paying off.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you used your knee scooter to do some of it?
I took the scooter with me the whole 5K, and I kept my boot on the whole time, but I walked some of it. Some of the path was kind of bumpy road, so I couldn't scoot along that part of it. But, it's an awesome event. If you get a chance to join us next year or walk a mile in her shoes, which they do in the spring, come out for that one as well.
They have their gala coming up, so there's some cool things. I'll make sure we remind you. Kathy's brother got married over the weekend. Christopher.
Yes, my little brother got married. It was great. It was so much fun. It was in the city. It was, it rained Wednesday. It was pouring.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday was super windy. We had the rehearsal dinner, but by Friday.
And Man for Man played. Which is amazing. So why did we play Blinded by the Light?
Because on the sunny day, they were blinded by the light.
Exactly. Come on.
Okay, I got you.
Follow along here, bro.
Anyway.
He got married on Friday. By Friday, it was beautiful and it was nice. He had, there's certain things that go into having a really good wedding. And, of course, it was my brother, so I was going to have fun no matter what. But he had an awesome band and the food was great. Like two things that if you have that, you're going to have a decent time.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, everybody had a great time. It was wonderful. wonderful.
This is a great picture of you standing. Is that on Market or
that's on South Broad Street? Yep, okay. I was right. We went in the median and yeah, took a quick picture with City Hall in the back.
That seems to be that's a popular shot. I should get one of those.
Yeah, you know what? And it was so
cool. Can I borrow that dress?
I kept trying to get that picture when we were walking around the city all weekend because it just was so pretty there.
Yeah.
And, you know, a nice weekend weather-wise. So, but anyway, yeah, I jumped to the median and had somebody take a picture of me while I was there.
Nice.
But yeah, it was great. Congratulations to them. They're doing they're holding off on the honeymoon until the summer. She's a teacher. So,
a lot of people do that now.
Yeah, so they're going somewhere like kind of in the area next weekend, and then they're going to go away in the summertime.
Kathy, I think about the Masonic Temple?
Yeah. you posted a photo on Instagram stories where your dad was just kind of wandering around outside the bus?
No. So it was my dad. It was the father of the bride. It was two bus drivers. It was a couple of pedestrians. And one of the bridesmaids is a Secret Service agent. And she was out there. The bus driver, unfortunately, came to pick up the bride and the bridal party and the parents and all of that. And he locked the keys in the bus. Right.
Oh, my God.
Right as we were ready to leave. So, yeah. So all the dads went out and there were all these people. They had like some, you know, the little things that people put their cigarettes in. Outside.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? Like the little tower thing?
It's a makeshift. It's an ashtray.
So it was, they kind of took the ashtray part of it off and then tried to shove it into the door of the bus to like pry the door open. So it's not up on my story anymore. I can repost it, but you can see it hanging out of the door of the bus.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so we actually all had to get into Ubers and Uber to where we were going because she was going to be late.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, and they did eventually get, somebody brought an extra set of keys and he was able to meet up with us at the second location. So it was okay. I felt bad for the driver, man. He felt so bad.
Of course.
You know, obviously, he didn't do it on purpose. And, you know, we had asked him later, we're like, are you going to get in trouble for this? And he was like, yeah, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. So I felt bad for him.
How many people attended?
It was about, I think it was like 250.
That's a big wedding.
Yeah, it was a big wedding. We have a big, you know, family, and so does she.
Did Janis Joplin's fan side make it?
You know what? The band side. Did it. I think they were given instruction not to, just because my mom, you know, gets a little weird about it. No, I don't know. Yeah, so it was great. Congratulations to Christopher and Christiane.
Nice. Excellent. And Saint played a gig this week.
Yeah!
We played at the Broken Goblet.
You opened for Rat Van.
Rat Van was the main act. We were the support act. No, we had a good time. Marissa came out.
Yeah!
And so did Brent Porsche.
Oh, and he's a rocker.
Which I didn't even realize until the end of the night. I saw some dude in a fedora and a jacket, and I just saw his silhouette. I didn't know it was Brent Porsche, but sure enough, it was him. So I was really, really happy those guys made out. We had a good time.
How was the turnout?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was packed. We had a lot of people there, and they seemed to have a good time. And it's a really good place for live music. Big stage makes you, when you're performing on stage that's up high like that, makes you feel pretty badass.
No, that is cool. And you were talking about the stage. So it was a good audio, everything. And did you play for the whole?
As far as I could tell.
Two sets?
Yeah, two sets that were over an hour long.
Did anybody bring down any show-related signs or anything?
No signs.
No signs.
Yeah, but lots of listeners.
All right, cool.
Lots of listeners. Hold on, Marissa's pulling her mic close. Yes.
You guys are really good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I expected it to be awesome, and I got there, and you guys were rocking out. That place kind of has like a TLA vibe where there's like a second story. So it was like, I feel like I was at a real rock concert, because I was.
Nice.
Did you sell merch? Did you sell merch after the show?
We don't have merch.
You don't have merch?
Oh, no. Man, you got to get merch.
Gotta get merch, Preston.
One thing
I'm gonna
at a
work
time.
On that for you.
Right now, we're working on somebody sponsoring our banner.
Oh, so really? Oh,
if you
want to
be
go.
On the Saint banner,
baby steps, man.
Window Nation.
Want to get like no, not Window Nation. I mean, Window Nation would be great, but I mean, like a beer or something like that would make more sense, right? So
first there was Live Nation. Now Window Nation presents Saint.
right? Just keep it in the Nation family.
Yeah. So let me know if you want to sponsor the Saint banner.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But it was fun. We had a good time and really nice group of people at Broken Goblet. Everybody works there is a little awesomely weird, if you know what I mean.
They're I like that. Yeah, they have a little bit of character.
Yeah, totally. They're great. So they were a lot of fun and nothing but good times. So,
and Casey,
our next gig, I want to plug this now because we are going to raise money for the Camp Out for Hunger.
Oh, that's awesome.
We are going to take our pay for the night and we are going to contribute it to the Camp Out for Hunger. We will be playing Friday, November 15th. At Chaps in Eagleville, which is essentially West Norton. Okay. And I've been to Chaps a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a cool place. So, good food and obviously...
Who's booking your gigs for you?
Great cocktails.
Reuben Kincaid.
Reuben Kincaid. He used to handle a group called the Partridge Family.
Oh, I remember them.
Yeah. But he doesn't work with them anymore. Now, Mark, our guitarist, does the booking. So we do the booking ourselves.
Two things we have to mention. That we got a check for the Camp Out for Hunger...
From the Masons.
Yes.
That is correct. The
a wonderful check for $1,000 to kick off the Camp Out for Hunger donations, and it was a wonderful thing that they did.
Yeah, so thanks to Mike and the guys once again. But anyhow, yes, so St. Friday, November 15th. Go ahead and put that in your calendar. Chaps, Eagleville, all the money is going to go to the Camp Out for Hunger.
Awesome.
And we'll probably, you know, pass a bucket around and take some donations or something like that.
I will try to make it out to that one.
That'd be cool.
That'd be a nice tie-in. Yeah. And Casey, you spoke at your... I remember you were practicing for this. You spoke at your elementary school, right?
I did. Well, not at my elementary school, but for my elementary school. So my elementary school actually burned down.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You burned the place down.
I did not. No. Unfortunately, it was like a boiler fire and it kind of lit the whole place up. So right now, my school is actually... They're at Cardinal Harrow High School.
Okay.
And they're taking up two wings of that school. But so I went to OLPH. It's now a regional school. So Our Lady of Fatima had closed down and they're at OLPH. I believe St. Joe's in Collingdale, St. Gabriel. So now my school is called OLA, Our Lady of Angels. And they had a gala on Friday night. And I need to thank Miss D, my sixth grade teacher. She's now Mrs. Cochran, but I'll always know her as Miss D. Her and another wonderful woman named Terry Gamble asked me to speak at this thing. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll do it. Like, yeah. They want to, and I'm like, what do you want me to talk about? You know, like I work on a morning show and we play a lot of sound effects like this, you know?
Yeah. But would that work for you?
It totally worked for me. So they just wanted me to, you know, talk about my, experiences as a student at a Catholic grade school, high school, and I sent my kids to Catholic school.
Did it go well?
It did. Yeah. It did. I was obviously nervous because it was like serious and stuff. But so Terry Gamble, this woman says, "Hey, Ms. D is so excited to bring you up on stage. She's really excited to announce you." And I'm like, "Oh, that's great! Like she's my favorite teacher." Blah blah blah. No, she had a full on presentation. Like a slideshow with pictures.
Casey through the years.
Well, so the the way she did it was so brilliant. She basically my driver's licenses were were like the catalyst for the. So she had pictures of my driver's license, how it corresponded to a picture that I took. In grade school.
Stop it.
Oh
I swear to God. Yeah.
We need to see this.
Yeah. So so I actually sent some pictures to Marissa. I want to say the first license picture she brought up was, all right, so this is me in sixth grade. There's a picture of me. That is literally our class picture. That's the face that I made.
And you're doing, and so what he's done here is he's pushed his top lip all the way up to the top of his gum, so just all the teeth are exposed. You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, like rabbit teeth.
You dry your gum off.
I dry my gum off, and I had rabbit teeth, and that's how I posed for our class picture in sixth grade.
Of course you did.
And
you have changed so much.
And then
you've really grown up.
She went from that picture to the license picture where I blacked out my tooth, I was like showing my teeth.
Yep. Were people dying?
Oh, my God. I was dying. It was so funny.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and then I think the last picture she chose, I can't remember which one it was, but it ended up with my current license photo.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it was really, really great. But unfortunately, because she had done this like over the years thing, it was like that was like the first two paragraphs of my speech. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I was going to say that. So I kind of went up there and winged it.
You bitch.
You just get up there.
You
killed
it.
You selfish bitch.
Shut up. You're ruining it.
Well, I was worried, man. I was worried that I was going to go up there and crap the bed. Like, I just,
How bad, I mean, at a benevolent sort of thing like that, what are they going to, like storm the stage
No.
and club you to death? No. No, it's totally going to be fine. They were thrilled to have you.
But it was neat, and, you know, and Ms. D said nice things about me, and the reality and the truth is she's my favorite teacher of all time.
Yeah.
Of all through grade school, high school, college, whatever, she is my most favorite teacher. We were her first class ever.
Yeah.
Like, so, and we're her favorite class. But what I had said in the speech is true. Like, I talked to her later on and after I was an adult, and I said, like, because no teacher's ever really liked me, but she did.
Right.
And she goes, you know, Case, like, you were 11 years old. You were doing what 11-year-old kids do. Like, I'm not going to treat you like an adult or how I want you to be because, you know, you were 11. So, right. I really, really appreciated that because I had some other teachers that, I wasn't a bad kid. I just was a little rambunctious.
You needed to find your way.
I was a little rambunctious. Yeah.
And then you found Jazz Tap.
And I found, but I also bought a new outfit for the evening. I even pieced it all together, and I think I looked a little bit handsome. I do think I got to cut my hair, though.
Yeah, it's time.
I don't know how to.
What are you growing?
I think I look handsome.
I don't, you know, Kath, nothing. Because I committed to it, okay. And I don't want to just, like, cut it all off. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Cut certain hairs.
But after, like, oh, my God, I forgot to tell you guys about this.
All right.
Okay. So I'm getting ready for this event, and I get out of the shower. I blow dry my hair because it's long and flowy. And then I realized that I don't have, like, hairspray to kind of, like, to hold it in place because it's not really super long enough for me to, like, really tuck it behind my ears. So I'm digging through the drawers, and I find Halloween hairspray. And it was yellow. So I'm like, I don't think it'll show up if I just use a little bit.
No.
If I just use a little bit, it won't really show in the hair, and so I give it one tiny little spray.
Yeah.
Not only did I, like, basically miss my hair, I got it all in my ear, and then in my hair, and I was like, God damn it. I got to get back in the shower. I got to rewash my hair, and I was, like, running late like I always am. But I'm like, why would you think that this wouldn't show up yellow in your freaking
hair?
It's yellow. It's like a lighter color, like... You know, if I just give it like a little,
this says we'll turn your hair yellow. I don't think it would turn my hair yellow.
It turned my hair yellow.
It turns out.
What is this? Instant hair yellowing. I don't think that would turn your hair yellow, would it?
Not just a little bit.
Yeah.
Works completely and eternally. I can get away with this.
Eternally.
But, of course, I wasted a good 2-3 minutes trying to, like, dab the yellow out of my hair. I'm like, no, I have to get in the shower. I have to redo this whole stupid thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else from the weekend to report?
That's it, guys.
Well, the union won, and Marissa.
Hey!
Actually, that is the one sports bright light in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was incredible. It was cold and rainy and gross all day, and that stadium was electric, and it was so much fun. And Sebastian Latou stood on a table and got yelled at, and it was just...
Did he really?
Just, yeah. The guy
so
came
excited.
Over. He looked at me, he's like, when they score again, I'm going to get in the table. And they scored, and I looked at him, I was like, now you got to get in the table. So he gets up, and he starts cheering and getting the crowd going, and the security guard came over. He's like, sir, you got to get down.
Yeah.
And then he came back later, 10 minutes later, and he's like, I'm so sorry.
He didn't pull the old, don't you know who I am thing?
No, he's not that kind of... It was all in good fun. And I stopped by, like, the Sons of Ben tailgate, and they put on a great party. I know they actually invite us all the time to come by, and I've never been, so I stopped by. I got a cool Philly versus everybody pin that all goes to charity because they do great things, and it was just
those guys are great. Yeah,
it was so much good.
I was telling it was very much
very,
great.
Very, very much great.
Great. I was telling
Marissa, get my own quote right.
I was telling Marissa in the green room. I don't normally watch soccer on television, but I watched that game yesterday, and they were down 3-1, and they came back to score 2 goals in the second half, and then they scored the 4th goal in extra time. It was electric. It was so much fun to watch on television. I can't imagine what it was like in the stadium. And then they actually scored a 5th goal, which they had overturned towards the end of the game. But their next game is Thursday away. Next game is Thursday in Atlanta.
Yeah, and a lot of thank yous, Kathy, for your dancing video. A lot of girls appreciate
that. That was the the positive.
That's what turned it around.
That's what did it.
Mojo that did it.
And Casey's insisting that they know the rules.
That's cool. And then Thursday.
It turned into 60-20 and then the team's 20% effort.
Yep. And then I did one more thing, by the way. This is recapping the weekend. I went to the 21 Pilots concert last night. But at least I watched the first three or four songs. And then I had to do it because they didn't go on until 9. And it was a school
night. Did you go by yourself or?
No, I took my daughter. My daughter had to go.
No one would go with her. She's a huge 21 Pilots fan.
It was the first concert she really, really, really wanted to go to. So
that's awesome.
Had to make that happen. So that added to the weekend.
What was the opener?
Crazy busy.
Rat Van.
No, it wasn't Rat Van. They played the Broken Goblet. Mr. Wise was a group that I had never heard of before, and they were fun.
They were good, too.
Yeah, it was just kind of alterna groups, you know?
Yeah.
And it was really interesting crowd, really cool. They're very passionate fans for that band, and my daughter is one of them big time.
Was it sold out?
It was.
Wow.
Packed house. Yeah, and my first time seeing some of the upgrades on the building.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the bathrooms are awesome.
Yeah,
they really cleaned them up really, really nice. I didn't get a chance to look at everything, but I'm impressed with just the pisser.
You didn't get to do a boom boom?
I know boom boom.
Oh, all right.
Next time. I'll bake a good one.
Can't wait to crap in this one.
Oh, so you were in like the one, like lower one. So you saw that little food court outside of like 102?
I didn't. Okay. We didn't spend much time walking around. So it was mobbed. Longest merch line I've ever seen, too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
God.
See? Yeah, so. Saint is missing out on that money.
Let's get a start with a sponsor first. For our banner, and then we'll work on merch.
Baby steps.
But anyway, this has been Weekend Recap. There you go. That's our theme.
That's new.
All right.
Oh, my God.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a second, and we have B5 on the way, so stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. Greta Van Fleet. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Delilah's. And Delilah's presents A Night at the Movies 2, their 28th anniversary party on Wednesday, October 23rd. Guest DJ PS1. Visit Delilahs.com for details. A Bronx man is suing NBC Universal after he paid for an unlimited refill soda machine deal at one of the company's theme parks, only to discover he had to wait a whole 10 minutes between each pour.
Oh, my God.
So he's suing NBC Universal.
What the hell kind of world do we live in where you have to wait 10 minutes for your next glass of soda?
Louis Arnaud is angry over the false advertising, saying he learned while trying to quench his thirst that the refills were in fact limited to a measly total of only 6 per hour, according to the class action lawsuit.
Oh my God.
I know. Arnaud said that he visited Universal's Island of Adventure in Orlando and he bought a 16-ounce Coca-Cola Freestyle cup, which purported to come with unlimited refills all day for $16.99. The next day, he reactivated the cup at Universal's sister theme park, Volcano Bay, for $8.99. The cups come with a computer chip to show that you've paid for the bottomless deal, but Arnaud learned that they were also tracking how often users top off and are programmed to limit refills for every 10 minutes.
Was that stipulated in the original deal?
When he tried to quench his thirst and refill his cup again before that period was up, the machine flashed a message rejecting his request. It said, "Hi, you are not quite ready to fill up," it proclaimed, along with the number of minutes that he had to wait, according to photos of the failed attempt in his suit. His suit also includes ads for the Freestyle deal at the park, which promotes unlimited refills with 100-plus drink choices, but doesn't appear to mention the limits. The move is a deceptive and unconscionable trade and business practice, the suit charges.
I'm going to own this park.
Yeah. So I guess the word unlimited refills
is the issue.
Is what got him a little hot under the collar. So, but I mean,
my soda.
I mean, you can't just sit there and open the, you know,
open your mouth
flow
until you die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The venomous pus caterpillar
Oh, yes, we've talked about these.
Venomous pus caterpillar appears to be back in Florida for its seasonal return. A Florida woman documented her scary and painful encounter on Facebook.
I'm back.
Brio Terry was in Dade City, Florida, said the post in the post that she leaned against a wooden fence and she felt her wrist start to burn after coming in contact with the pus caterpillar. O'Terry said, it felt like fire ants in that moment. I looked down and saw this fuzzy thing moving across the wood.
Hi.
She was checked out by an EMT, but symptoms increased later in the day, and her husband took her to the ER.
Looks like she was stung by a pus caterpillar.
She said, I was watching my son practice, and all of a sudden I couldn't breathe. I thought I was going to pass out, and then came the pain in my chest, in my entire right arm, radiating from my wrist all throughout my arm and shoulder. The pain was so excruciating, I was hysterically crying in the hospital, pleading for the doctors and nurses to help me, and morphine didn't even touch the pain.
So that has to be staggering pain. Yeah. So that does that has to go past, say, fire ants. Fire ants are painful, but I've never heard anyone call it that morphine couldn't counteract the pain.
A 2014 report by the National Geographic said the caterpillars are the most venomous of their kind in the U.S. and that their soft outer comb-over hides small, extremely toxic spines that stick in your skin. And O'Terry warned others to be on the lookout for these painful creatures.
Just look for caterpillars with bad hair.
And lots of pus.
Yeah.
A Queensland council will replace a strategic bush outside its art center to hide the vulva on a sculpture called Birth of Venus following a complaint.
So they're doing a statue merkin?
They're just going to put it, they're going to stick it where it's covering up the,
Actual bush or a statue sandwich. Bush?
An actual bush.
Okay.
Lulu Drew lodged the complaint with the Moreton Bay Regional Council after she visited the Breeby Island Community Art Center and noticed the sandstone sculpture was showing private bits.
Yeah, you can clearly see your claim.
Ms. Drew said that she had visited the center with an elderly gentleman and they didn't know where to look. Ms.
Drew never want to leave.
Then contacted a former counselor who told her the statue was the same one that had previously been removed from a public park because of complaints in 2008. The sculpture created headlines after the mayor, Alan Sutherland, ordered it to be moved to a park. Mr. Sutherland said at the time it had been moved as it was it had been moved because it was offensive to women after vandals had painted the vulva pink.
Yeah, that's probably not good.
The sculpture, and by the way it is, she's laying on her side with her legs together, so you see it from the rear.
I got you.
See the fold,
and so they pinked it up, and that made a big issue. So now they have the hedges are growing over it.
They're going to put the hedges there. Not now. Won't that make it worse? The sculpture, a three-part sandstone sculpture with a shell, Venus, and plaque, had been at the center for more than a decade following the Woorim incident, which is the other location it was in.
Why don't they turn it into a soda machine that dispenses unlimited soda on a special plan?
The sculpture had at one stage sat at the back of the art center before being relocated to the front 12 months ago, but it was only after a bush concealing the genitalia was removed that it became an issue again and prompted Miss Drew's complaint. The spokesman said a bush that was planted at the center was stolen and we're going to replace it. So that's how they're taking care of that. A fedora-wearing D-bag was caught on camera smashing holiday pumpkins on a Brooklyn stoop twice. And vigilante neighbors are teaming up to catch him. And this is according to Hubert Kaloff, whose stoop it was. He said, what bothers me is this is an adult. I can't believe it. This is an older-looking guy in a fedora. He comes up and just destroys this guy's pumpkin.
What's that lunacy?
And he's done it twice. It seems like more of like a kid vandal thing.
And even then, it's a dick move. But when you're an adult.
He first struck around 2 a.m. when he stumbled up to the porch and slammed the painted pumpkin into his front stairs. Surveillance footage shows the clumsy criminal trying three times to destroy the decoration, bouncing it unsuccessfully against the sidewalk before it finally busted open, and then he left. He returned to the home again on Wednesday, this time sporting a leather jacket and a fedora as he went to town on Caliph's replacement pumpkin.
I'll show them.
But Caliph refuses to have his Halloween spirit crushed. He said neighborhood sleuths, some working together through a community Facebook page, sent him a name and an address that would help lead him to the jerk. And although cops are searching for the man, Karloff said that he plans to take matters into his own hand. He said, I think I'll be better off handling this guy than the police would. Without elaborating on what he planned to do, he said,
I'm going to kill him.
He said,
I'm going to shoot him in the back of the head.
He said, I don't really want to bother them with this little thing.
Don't you worry.
He's
got it.
He's going to handle this, yes. And then we'll do one more story, and we will wrap it up. A woman was arrested after she made an unusual request. According to police, the woman was waving down one of their officers on Thursday night. She told the officer she had run out of gas, which she did. She needed a ride to her car. The officer gave the woman, Lynette Stewart, a ride, as well as a gas can. And just as a formality, he checked out the status of the vehicle, and it was stolen.
Oh, my God.
She flagged down a cop to give her a ride to the car
stole. Sorry. My stolen vehicle ran out of gas. Could you help me?
Do you mind?
Yeah.
Stewart was arrested for...
I didn't know how much gas was in it because I stole it.
Vehicle theft and possession of methamphetamine and booked into the county jail. And that is what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. All right, let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll see how closely you've been paying attention today. We'll have a lesson question from today's program, as well as the trash and the music news. That's on the way next. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stick with us. Mike going to be winning a trip to Los Angeles for yet another premiere. It's 4 weeks in a row we've given away an L.A. trip for a movie premiere. And they're always great, the stories that we hear from people about the stuff they've done and how fun the event is and hotel accommodations and all that stuff.
So. They treat them like gold. Yeah. They really do. They want them to come back with the idea is you come back with a great experience and you serve as a prophet for the movie.
Yep.
And so they treat you first class all the way.
All right, we're going to see how close you've been paying attention. We're going to do today's lesson question. A pair of movie tickets from Fandango is what we'll give away. So you get your, you know, pick of the litter, I assume, with that. And the question I have this morning, we have to ask this. What dog society does Ginger Gonzaga run? This might be a hard one, man.
It's a tough one.
We mentioned it a couple times. What dog society does Ginger Gonzaga run? 215-263-W. It was Ginger Gonzaga that ran this?
Yeah, she, yeah.
Jim Carrey's ex-girlfriend?
Oh, wait.
I think that's right.
No, it should have been from the Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't think so.
Because he had a puggle, right?
Yeah, but we followed it up with the Jim Carrey story.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 215-263-WMMO. Let's see if you know the answer.
It's complicated when you lie.
It does. What dog society does Ginger Gonzaga run? 215-263-WMMO. We're going to do the trash art call and give us a call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Temple Football. Don't miss a huge prime time showdown when Temple Football battles UCF on Saturday, October 26th, 7 p.m. Lincoln Financial Field. Kids tickets on game night are just $10. Visit owlsticks.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, the porn star known as Bridget the Midget Powers could be facing 8 years in prison after attacking her boyfriend with a knife. Powers is currently being held in protective custody inside a Tupperware container.
Oh, oh my God.
Lauren Sanchez will soon be able to marry her boyfriend, Amazon owner, and richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, now that her divorce from husband Patrick Whitesell is about to become final. Whitesell immediately agreed to the divorce after asking Sanchez, what does he have that I haven't got, only to hear $111 billion. And finally, Michael Strahan's ex-wife, Jean Strahan, filing legal documents to get $500,000 more in child support to pay for their daughter's horse riding lessons. Strahan has called the request a, quote, total crock of sit. That's a Hollywood trap.
All right. We shall see if we can find an answer to this question. What dog society does Ginger Gonzaga run? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good.
Kevin, what society, what is this that dog society is Ginger Gonzaga run?
NAPS, North American Pug Society.
It's close enough.
Yes, yes.
Puggle. There's a pug, Puggle, but he was clearly listening. So, Kevin, you got it right. Hang on. We're going to get your information. You haven't played the bells in a while.
No.
Wow. Good.
Somebody's been practicing. It's hard to get it that precise.
We have a pair of movie tickets from Fandango, and you can get into the Halloween spirit with Fandango and see Stephen King's Dr. Sleep on October 30th, a week before it hits theaters, exclusively through Fandango Early Access. Get your tickets to see Dr. Sleep first, only on Fandango. I should be done with the book by tomorrow.
So what do you think so far?
I personally love it. I'm really enjoying this quite a bit. And I went back to back with The Shining right into this.
Which did you like more?
This one's got a little more action to it.
Okay.
There's a lot of nuance to The Shining, which is great.
Right.
But this is a little more right to the punch.
All right.
And there's more people involved. But The Shining is a classic.
It is.
It's great. I'm interested to see what they do with the film.
Stephen King just put on Twitter yesterday that he's done some thinking, and sure enough, We're Going to Need a Bigger Boat is the greatest movie line ever spoken.
Oh, really? Yeah. According to him?
According to him. And then a close second is Game Over Man.
Game over.
Aliens.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. All right. We're going to do music news. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And it is brought to you by Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. The Pennsylvania Ear Institute offers quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. For more information, visit salusuhealth.com/PEI. Soundgarden, Depeche Mode, Judas Priest are all among the top five artists leading the fan vote for this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of inductees. As of Saturday night, it was Pat Benatar that had received the most votes, 149,831 votes, while the Doobie Brothers followed with 134,982. Doobie Brothers are great.
I love the Doobie Brothers. There's so much great stuff going all the way back to the earliest days of the Doobie Brothers, then the Michael McDonald years. You know, obviously, were super popular, but there's tons of great music.
You go back to the earlier stuff like Jesus Is Just All Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
There's some really, really good stuff in there, man. They were
trying to grow. Yeah, this
Tom Johnston.
Yeah, oh, he's so talented.
Yeah, great singer.
I love this guitar.
Yeah, they were a fantastic band. Soundgarden was in third place with 127,652. And Depeche Mode in the fourth spot with 114,444. Judas Priest was fifth with 108,286. Nearly 1.4 million votes have already been cast since voting began. Fans can cast their vote at the museum in Cleveland and on its website. They can also vote on Google by searching Rock Hall Fan Vote or any nominee name plus vote through January 10th. And fans can vote up to five times,
wow,
or can vote for up to five nominees every day.
If the Doobies make it in case, do you think the Gibbons kids will get a nom?
I don't know.
Okay.
They weren't in the same episode.
I know.
Together.
No, I know, but they were. It opens the door. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Which Doobie you be?
My half-brother. Ex-Blink 182 guitarist Tom DeLonge's UFO research group to the Stars Academy of Arts and Science has announced a new partnership with the U.S. Army.
Whoa!
Which allows the two groups to collaborate on future research. So they're being taken very seriously here.
We are ready to transmit. We are ready to transmit.
The collaboration allows the Army's Ground Vehicle Systems Center, or the GVSC, and Ground Vehicle Survivability and Protection, GVSP, access to the STARS research on material science, space-time metric engineering, quantum physics, beam energy propulsion, and other concepts which may enhance.
I got a big box, yes I do. I got a big box, how about you?
It was the wrong one, but it'll work.
Which may enhance survivability and effectiveness of multiple army systems, according to a press release.
So there, listen, that gives it credibility. That adds gravitas to his whole thing there.
Dr. Joseph Cannon of U.S. Army Futures Command shared in a press release, "We look forward to this partnership and the potential technical innovations forthcoming. The collaboration is another feather in DeLong's cap, who has seen his organization cited in the New York Times on the Pentagon's on the report on the Pentagon's $22 million program for UFO research. The report also mentioned the existence of mysterious metal alloys as potential evidence of UFOs, which DeLong's organization later claimed to have acquired for investigative purposes. And those alloys are said to be what drove the U.S. Army to partner with DeLong's outfit." Pretty wild.
Something's up.
Yeah. Eddie Van Halen. Despite the recent cancer reports, appears looking happy and fit in a new photo on social media. He was photographed on Saturday hugging Sue Dion, a receptionist at Beverly Hills Ogara Group, a high-end auto dealer renowned for selling such brands as Aston Martin, Bentley, Lamborghini, and Rolls-Royce, among others. Dion posted on her Instagram account a picture of the two and said, "I've had a bad week, so please indulge me in this gushing post. I love my job. I love the cars. I love my coworkers, and I love the clients. Admittedly, I've had more than my share of cool things that I've done in my life." So it was a big deal for her to meet Eddie Van Halen.
So he had gone to Germany, right? There's an institute in Germany that's been handling his throat cancer treatment.
Sources, according to TMZ, have reported that.
All right.
Whether it's true or not, I don't
know. We don't know.
The new photo comes on the heels of that report that Van Halen is once again undergoing cancer treatment. He was treated for tongue cancer in 2002. Had more cancerous growths on his tongue and throat removed back in 2011.
She removed the photo for some reason, this Sue Dion person. So it was up on her Instagram account and is now no longer.
That's too bad. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we're going to circle back to that for a moment, has amended its nomination of legendary metal act Motorhead to include drummer Mickey D and guitarist Phil Campbell. Initially, only the band's early classic lineup, Lemmy, also Fast Eddie Clark, and Phil Filthy Animal Taylor, all of whom are deceased, was nominated. But a fan outcry led to Campbell and Dee, both of who spent more than 25 years in the band, being added to the list. So they are going to be considered.
They do that sometimes, don't they? So they'll take band members that were not, that don't fall within the parameters of the inclusion into the Hall of Fame and allow them to add those members in. They've done it before.
Well, these guys have been with them for 25 years. Well, yeah, I guess at the original recording, so yeah, they weren't on that. But I'm not sure. Maybe they performed on some recorded music that was within the parameters of 25 years. I'm not sure. But Pearl Jam, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
not all the drummers made it in.
But Matt Cameron did, and Dave Abruzzese did, or maybe Dave Cruzan did. One of the Daves did.
Abruzzese didn't.
Correct. You're right.
Night of a Thousand Daves.
Yeah. All right, and then one more. Oh, go ahead, Case.
No, sorry.
Dave!
Filthy Animal.
Got that in.
That was for, Phil, Filthy Animal Taylor. So that's spot on.
Listen, we have something for just about everything.
We do.
For like Amazon.
If only we had somebody named Sandy to mention.
Oh, man, yeah.
Sandy!
Yeah. Or a baby named True.
All right, and then one last story, and I'm doing this for listener Richard.
Richard.
Actually, it's not a story. It's a giveaway.
And it's actually for Francis.
Oh. Francis.
Free music.
You want to hear Space People?
Free Music Monday. I'll take caller number 8, and I will give you a digital download of the new album from Foles.
Ah.
Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost Part 2, which is out now from Warner Records.
And they say that they were heavily influenced by Manfred Mann.
So,
it's true.
215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll take caller number 8, and we'll set you up that digital download. Dear Lord, I need to take a commercial break. We're going to do that, but you need to stay with us because we'll get the letter of the day when we return. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Been an enjoyable program today. Glad you were along for it. And some thank yous in order. We had one guest. It was a not your average listener, Tommy Martino.
Yeah.
Was here. Tommy wrote a book.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, Inside Game, the true story of the NBA scandal. And he and a buddy of his from his youth got caught up in this scandal you may remember from a few years back involving an NBA ref. It's now being made into a movie, which is coming out in November. And you thought his story was worthy of Not Your Average Listener, you know, of an award. We gave him $250, courtesy of Sunoco. So thanks for coming in this morning, Tommy. Appreciate that. That's our only guest. We need to do our letter of the day for our new Word of the Week prize. So we're going to ask an individual to give us that very letter, and he's going to do that thing.
Why, you, sir?
He's walking away. You, sir, who just came in off the street. Why don't we have you do it?
I'll do it.
I'll do it. All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by The Letter.
H as in Hank.
All right, we have another trip for two to Los Angeles for the premiere of Midway on November 5th in L.A. Like I said, the trip includes two round-trip plane tickets, two nights hotel stay, and two tickets to the premiere. Midway opens nationwide in theaters on November 8th. So get ready. We'll give that away on Friday, which is cool.
Who's in that?
I have to take a look. I'm not really sure yet.
Woody Harrelson. There's a few other names you might not be familiar, but there's a lot of up and comers who are actually the guy Preston from Deadpool who was his Francis his nemesis.
Oh yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Ajax. Yeah. Yeah. I know the actor.
Yeah.
Don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about. I love your shirt, Pierre. I love that shirt.
Thank you.
That's great.
Well, I don't know where I found this, but it's I'm not a Buddhist, but I love Buddha images.
Right. Yes.
And so I have a lot of little Buddha statues around my house that I just find them peaceful.
It has a wonderful slogan underneath.
Yeah, it's got Buddha sitting in a garden, is striking the pose, and it says underneath, and I'll paraphrase, "Let that crap go." But a little bit more vulgar than that.
He's sitting under the Bodhi tree, which
That's
is
great.
He spent the time reflecting under the Bodhi tree.
So we all occasionally need to let that
Esco.
Yeah. Esco. So I thought it would be appropriate.
Yeah.
For anything.
After the weekend, it's time to let all that go.
I went and saw Hamilton last night.
Oh, you did?
Oh, how was it? I saw it a couple of weeks ago.
It's amazing.
It's great.
Yeah, really amazing. Very cool. Yeah, it's going to be a fun week. I get my little induction thing tomorrow the daytime thing. So I won't be on the air tomorrow. I'm not sure who's on. I think Ray Kuba is on tomorrow.
Oh, very cool. What time does it get underway for people
noon,
who want to?
I think.
Yeah.
Noon, yeah.
So we're going to come down and wave on. We'll be riding in the float behind you.
Excellent.
Is Jackie going to be down there broadcasting? Yeah. So he'll do cut-ins, I guess, with Ray? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to. And then later tomorrow, Matt. Will induct me tomorrow evening. Casey, do you have that piece?
It's all ready to go.
We actually got some early audio of what Matt plans to say about me tomorrow. And so I'd just like to play that for you now if we could.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Give it up for the one and only Pierre Robert, a true Philadelphia legend. And when he dies, we're
is that the MM barbecue?
Yeah, it was from the MM barbecue a couple of years ago.
After a couple cocktails.
Just a cocktail.
Feeling the fruits of life.
Yeah, he was feeling the fruits of life.
That's great.
So I think it'll be very similar to that tomorrow. So I just wanted to share that.
Nice. Sorry, we have breaking news here. There's a big fire in Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Yeah, somebody texted in, and we can't see out our window, so I don't know if we're able to see it or not, but it's at Cobb Creek.
Yeah. I'm sorry. 60th and Spruce. South 60th Street and Spruce Street. Mm-hmm. And it looks like one, two, three, like several row homes are on fire.
Oh.
That's what it looks like, right, Nick?
Yeah. And so it's a 3-alarm fire and the Cobbs Creek section of the town.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty close to where we are right now. I wonder if we could see the smoke from our
probably.
Pierre
we
studio.
Have these tarps over our windows because of the construction that's going on in the building. So if there is smoke, we can't see it. So
it's an auto body shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What constitutes what level of alarm? In other words, is
we've talked about it before. And I used to think it was how many different fire companies were.
Yeah.
The alarms were raised, but it's a little bit more technical than that. We've had chiefs call in and try to.
Explain it
to us, but
we
you know,
still don't know.
The amount of alarms, the more serious it is. I know that. Okay. So yeah. But anyhow, hopefully they get that under control. So maybe Pierre will have the news for you a little bit later on that. His crack team of reporters will be out on the street getting the information. Pancake will be out there.
Investigative reporter. We go now to investigative reporter Pancake.
At the scene.
Yeah.
At the scene. So, all right. So we got our letter. We're good on that. What's coming up on the program
today? We'll have more Free Music Monday like you did. The Foles Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost, part two, to give away for you. We have Jimi Hendrix, Aerosmith, and the Kinks to play for you in Workforce Blocks.
Yay.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Pierre. And I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And Meineke, America's choice for auto repair. Tomorrow, in the studio tomorrow, Harry Hamlin and Stephanie Powers.
Wow. Or yeah. Maybe just Harry Hamlin.
Really?
They're dropping like flies.
We lost BD Newer today. Yeah, like, Tiffany's been moved. What? And now Frank Stallone's not going to show up?
No. What the F is going on here? Listen, are there no more B-level celebrities left?
Yeah, please.
Oh, my God. We were supposed to have Stephanie Powers, who was the girl from Uncle. You remember?
I remember.
And this is hard.
There's still a chance.
There's still a chance.
Harry is coming.
You're saying there's still a chance.
But there's still a slight chance. Probably not going to happen.
We lost BB. We lost Tiffany. We're losing Stephanie.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Everything. All right. Tune in tomorrow. See what happens. That's
nothing.
It. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
Hey, Casey, why you gotta disrespect apple cider donuts like that, man? What the hell they ever do to you?
Next message.
So I go to my grocery store in Bluebell last night, and it turns out I qualify for a free turkey. So now I can't do anything except sing turkey certificate.
Next message.
Here's a shout out to my old mother-in-law. The only reason you wanted me to stay your house is because I was a idiot like your husband and your son. Bitch, guess what? I'm not now, and you don't know because you're in another state. Ha ha!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.